on your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock. The Kremlin has dismissed claims the Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny was killed with poison from a frog as a hoax. Ministers from five European nations, including the UK, say Vladimir Putin's state is responsible for his death. Alexei Navalny died at a penal colony in Siberia 2 years ago. The former Conservative Defence Minister, Tobias Elwood, has been telling LBC he's not surprised by today's judgment.
There's always been suspicions about the circumstances of Navalny's death in that Siberian colony. He was arrested a couple of years earlier for being that voice that we all saw, willing to stand up to Putin. And clearly Putin saw this as a step too far. He was threatening Putin's credibility. Then we saw the demise unfold.
The Kremlin denies any responsibility. Canada's foreign minister has declined to say whether her government would support US military action against Iran over its nuclear program, but Anita Anand has declared Ottawa would like to see a change in government in the Islamic Republic. The prime minister has warned NATO can only be preserved if Europe takes more responsibility for its own defence. He made the comments after giving a key speech at the Munich Security Conference. Sir Keir Starmer is also calling for stronger ties between the UK and the EU when it comes to defence. The former Labour strategist Andrew Fisher has been telling LBC he does have a point.
There is a kernel of truth in what he's saying, and indeed some of the critique that Donald Trump has made of Europe, which is we do not punch our weight in the world in terms of military, and we have become too reliant on the US. The UK and Germany alone spend more on the military than Russia does. So it's not like Europeans don't spend enough on defence. We just don't coordinate with each other.
A teacher from West Sussex has been remanded after being charged with sexually abusing two pupils. Joseph Haffenden from Linfield is facing two counts of sexual assault and two more of false imprisonment. The 32-year-old went before magistrates in Brighton earlier today. And in sport and in football this evening, League One Mansfield have caused the shock of the day in the FA Cup. It's following a 2-1 win against the Premier League side Burnley. Elsewhere, West Ham almost suffered an upset in the fourth round, but they eventually beat Burton 1-0 after extra time. LBC weather, a band of rain, sleet and snow will push across the UK eastwards overnight. Clearer spells later, but more showers will then develop behind that. We'll see a low of around 1 degree. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
This is absolute tosh.
What the hell is going on?
These are messages that came in from last night. I'll try to get through as many of these as I can before the tsunami of messages come in from today. Glenn says, Nick, I've been directed to say hello by a very bossy elderly relative who is up from Bognor for the weekend. So hello from Betty. And now she's screaming, tell him we love the show! Thanks a lot, Betty.
Hello.
Hello, Betty.
Hello.
Yes, Betty.
Hello.
Mike in Wolverhampton says, please, Nick, tell me you've watched Bad Bunny's halftime show at the Super Bowl. Yeah, that's a bad bunny. Yeah. Yeah, I did. I thought it was great. I think I said this yesterday, and I probably said it the day before and the day before that, too. I looked that up on the World Wide Web. It's probably still available on YouTube. And that Bad Bunny halftime show was hip-poppingly good. It was almost as good as that one with Snoopy Snoopy Dog Dog and Jay-Z and Fiddy and, you know, all those people when they were wandering about the house in the middle of the pitch. You remember that one? Oh, look that up on the internet. I double dare you. David in Stafford says, and by the way, the right-wingers, the ones who keep screaming about snowflakes all the time, they had to have their own Kid Rock-themed halftime Super Bowl show because they couldn't sit in the same room as some bloke who was singing in Spanish. I'll sum that up for you. So whiny. Those right-wingers. Like their whole world came crashing down because somebody was on their television singing in Spanish. David in Stafford says, hi, Nick, you had a list of Atlanta. By the way, those some of the gyrations were a little bit, you know, over the top.
Disgusting.
I thought, for a family audience. But I suppose that's normal these days. Every show looks like it's filmed in a strip club these days. Awful. David in Stafford says, "Hi, Nick, you had a list of outlandish predictions of Donald Trump's actions on his descent into madness. Have they all come true yet? Last time I heard, they were close to completion, but I've not heard an update for a while. They must be complete by now." Well, somebody had a really good one. I wonder how far down this is. Hang on. I'll come to it in a minute. So this is the Trump bingo card. This is brand new for this year. A couple of these are held over from last year because they didn't happen last year. The FBI will find 12,000 votes from the 2020 election and say that, you know what, Trump did win. That's what they'll say. We can't show you any evidence, but trust us, they'll say. Trump will place his ICE goons outside Democrat area polling stations. And Steve Bannon has just said that that is precisely what they're going to do. Maybe they're actually listening to this show for ideas. I should maybe just shut up about it. He's going to appear on stage in a military uniform. Well, he may have done that already. It's a bit difficult to tell. He'll want his own film like Melania. He will. He'll go to Jeff Bezos and say, hey, Jeff, do this for me now. Thanks for all the money and, you know, the attention and all of that, but I want my own film, like Melania. How's that Melania film going, by the way?
Oh, fabulous.
That's what I thought. Yeah, queuing around the block they are to see another film. He's going to want an airport named after him. Now, I wrote this stuff before he actually said he wanted an airport named after him. He also wants a rail terminus named after him as well, or he's going to scupper is it a bridge or a tunnel? I can't remember. One of the two. It's some major construction project on the northeast in New York. And you won't be able to use it unless Donald Trump gets an airport and a rail terminus named after him. You know, like a child. Is this really happening or am I hallucinating? God, wouldn't it be marvelous if this was an hallucination?
Yowza.
He's going to want a statue made of himself, probably in gold. Maybe it'll be on the Arc de Trump. You know, the triumphal arch, which is going to be about twice as big as the one that's in Paris, France. He's going to want to be made a saint. He's going to have his portrait in every school in the country, or they will be defunded. He's going to take the Panama Canal. He's going to have a verse about himself added to the national anthem. There'll be a false flag attack to create an emergency, probably just before the elections that it looks like he might lose, and then he will have to cancel the elections for our safety. And a late entry into this list. He's going to require that a chapter about himself is inserted into the Bible. Well, he's already got his own Bible, which I think you can still purchase on the World Wide Web. But last time I looked at it, I think it was like $69 for the ordinary version or $99 for the version that has Donald Trump's name on the front of it. I ain't making this up. Or $1,000 if you want the Bible signed by Donald Trump himself. He'll pick up his crayon and do his squiggly big boy mark on it.
Oh, shut up!
Just saying. This has to be a hallucination. This can't be real life, can it? David in Stafford says, just read that. This text says, as a born and bred Londoner, South London, Brixton, Clapham, I am 56 years old. Seen many changes and I still feel as safe as I ever have. Love London. It's the best city in the world. By the way, I'm a woman. Yeah, I do believe that it is the best city in the world. Name me a city that is better than London. There's only really two that could possibly be on the list. And one is Paris, which is, what's the word I'm looking for?
Boring!
It's a little bit boring. I wouldn't want to live there. I mean, I'd like to go on holiday there. I'd like to eat out there, you know, wander around and look at how magnificent it is. But compared to London, it's just not really going on. It ain't got no, the kind of stuff that we got going on here going on there. And the only other one is New York, and God, it's absolutely hideous. Everywhere you look in New York, it's absolutely hideous. That is a verifiable fact. And the the scale of it is not human scale. London is built on a human scale, apart from that hideous monstrosity out in Vauxhall, and you know who we've got to thank for that?
Yeah. Where do we...
Yeah, that great big greedy nincompoop. It's that all that mess out there, that's his fault. Looks like blooming Bangkok if you stand on Westminster Bridge and look west. Awful. But as for the rest of London, it's on a human scale. But New York ain't. These vast glass canyons just funnel the wind through and just hideously ugly to look at. So London wins. The best city in the world. What is it about you right-wingers that you want to bring down London while yelling about patriotism? It's our capital city, for crying out loud. Show some pride. This text says, is it still PC to call someone big ears? Sent in from Noddy. Right, let's have Saffron Walden. Hello, Jay.
Oh, hello, Nick.
Yes, Jay.
How are you?
I am great, mate.
Yeah, to be honest, I wanted to talk about London. Yeah. I wanted to ask you questions why in some of our media outlets, they're all based in London.
Yeah.
And people who are dissing London, they live in London, and they don't like London.
I do believe that they do like London, otherwise they could probably live somewhere else. If you're just writing for a newspaper, as certain oily charlatans can attest, you can live in Dubai and do it from there and complain about what's going on back in this country as though you're an actual patriot, where you obviously aren't, because you upsticked and moved to Dubai, for crying out loud. Some baking hot hellhole where you can't even go out in the midday sun.
I agree with you, but what I'm trying to say is I lived there for 12 years or 13 years.
Where?
And in London.
Oh.
Yeah, believe it or not. But, yeah, basically, I loved it. There's so much to do and transport, everything. And it's a multicultural place.
Oh, that's, you want well, food, I think you just put your finger on the problem there. It's a multicultural place that actually works.
Correct.
Yeah, it works. Everybody rubs along just fine. We've got every kind of cuisine that you could possibly imagine to eat from. And all of these people who come from everywhere make the place interesting. You want to go to a place where everyone is the same? Go to Clacton and see how much you like it.
I've been to Clacton when I lived in London. Oh, yeah, you don't want to go there, especially to Jaywick. No, I shouldn't say it. But anyway, but basically, I've never seen any tired-looking people. You know,
What are you doing right now?
It's my son trying to eat ice cream. I just told him to be
what
quiet.
What a racket. That's the noise that he makes when he's eating ice cream?
No, he's trying to get the ice cream from the freezer.
Oh,
and
right.
Our freezer is a bit broken.
Oh, okay.
We need to defrost it. Right. Anyway, that's why I do apologize.
What flavor ice cream have you got there, by the way?
Oh, Häagen-Dazs. I don't know. He's just kind of like vanilla flavor.
Vanilla?
It's a good... Yes.
Vanilla?
But it's a good time to eat ice cream.
Of the rainbow possibilities of ice cream flavors that you could choose, you went for vanilla...
Yeah, that's what we got. Yeah, sorry about that. But it's the best time to eat ice cream for a child at 10:15. Yeah. Listening to Nick Ferrari's show. Not Ferrari, Nick Abbott. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, well, you can listen to Nick Ferrari's show. It's still available on the World Wide Web. It's available on the Global Player app or the new LBC app, which are free. You can get them from your app store.
Yes. And, Nick... another thing is, have you seen any tired-looking people in London?
Because always.
Nadim Zahavi
I see tired-looking people in London. Every time I go on the tube, I see whole trains full of tired-looking people. Everyone's blooming exhausted because they're out there, pedalling furiously just to stay still. Of course they're tired.
And another thing is I wanted to mention...
And another thing.
Yes. What do you think of RFK Jr. snorting... some substance from a toilet seat.
He says he's not worried about germs because he used to snort cocaine off toilet seats. And that answers a lot of questions that we have about RFK Jr. All right, thanks a lot, Jay. The subjects that he brings up in the presence of his children. You believe that? John says, Nick, can we get some serious stuff going on? Well, what does that mean? Is he asking me for drugs? Can we get some serious stuff going on?
Want to score some pot?
No, thank you, John. No, no, thank you. Appreciate the offer, but no, thank you. I mean, you know, good manners don't cost nothing, do they? Be polite. Chris says, regarding Kew Gardens, I was recently stranded on Ascension Island for 4 days. I climbed Green Mountain and did not see another soul for 10 hours. At the peak, there is an information board saying that 150 years ago, the curators from Kew came and took samples from various flora. And this has led to an amount of Kew today. You've seen the progeny. Small world, apart from how isolated Ascension is, says Chris. Wow. You believe that? Ascension Island. He says, if indeed there is such a place. Nobody really knows. It's impossible to find out. 0345 6060 973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
Weekdays from 7 a.m.
They have fatal incompetence.
Straight to the point.
What is the problem they've got over there?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
The country's going backwards. Growth down. Energy prices up.
Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store. LBC.
With over 50 years' experience at Fidelity, we believe there's a difference between investing and being invested. Investing is having access to guidance, tools, and expert insights. Being invested means feeling confident about your future. Investing is choosing from a wealth of investment options. Being invested means focusing on your long-term goals. For ISAs, pensions, or advice, be truly invested with Fidelity. Go to fidelity.co.uk. Your capital is at risk. Terms apply.
Donations to British Heart Foundation fund scientific research that can help save lives. People like Joe, who's pitching his next big business plan. Maria, who's sending out her wedding invitations. And Jack, who's just being a teenager again. Because when you donate, you fund more than just science. You help save lives. British Heart Foundation funds research that aims to cure inherited heart muscle diseases. But our work is not done. Donate now at bhf.org.uk and keep us beating.
I'm Leah, and this is my NHS story. I could just feel my body didn't feel right, and my GP referred me to CDC. Had some blood tests done, and within 24 hours I had my results. And that just reassured me that I was being taken seriously.
The government is opening new community diagnostic centres, with many already available 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, so the NHS can be there for all of us when we need it. Find your closest one at gov.uk/NHS Fit for the Future. Available England-wide.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
It blows my mind, Nick. It really it does my nuts in.
Yeah, mean too. Me too, mind too. A combination of the two. Two. Clive in Sydney says, Nick here in Sydney. Nick, comma, here in Sydney to prevent the massive flocks of giant fruit bats roosting overnight in the city. There are explosive devices that sound like a cannon going off. The trouble is, it's at random times in the middle of the night and puts you at hypervigilance in case it's a drive-by shooting. Really? That, you'd think that would be something that people would complain about. But maybe the fruit bats are worse than being woken up by explosive devices in the middle of the night. I don't know. This is in relation to me going on about the parakeets, which appear to have taken up residence outside my house.
Oh, no.
And I've been fearing that. Because I see them here, there, and everywhere, baby, and this massive number of them. But there must have been 1,000 or more, maybe 2,000. They wouldn't stay still long enough for me to count. But the racket was unbelievable. They were all collecting in the same couple of trees down by a well-known supermarket near where I live. And you heard them first, and you thought, what on earth is that? Ungodly racket. And it was thousands of these parakeets that had all coalesced in the one tree and were busy chirping at each other. Unbelievable noise. And I thought, oh, God, well, they've got this far. They're bound to start spreading out. And they're going to take up residence outside my house.
Damn it!
And they have. Why isn't the government doing something about this, Farhat says, Nick, for your Trump bingo card, he will have a chapter about himself inserted into the Bible. Yeah, there it is. Thanks, Farhat. Yeah, well, like I said, he's got his own Bible. You know, anything to make some coin. Croydon. Hello, Colin.
Hello, Nick. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
I've got something to add to your Trump bingo card, too.
Yes.
I'm surprised it's not on there. It may already be on there. I don't think it is. But I think he's going to try and add his face to Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, well, that was on last year. There's, I think that's maybe a step too far.
I don't know who he'd scrub off. Or I don't know. I don't think there's room for an extra one. I think he'd have to lose one of the current ones.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Well, I wouldn't put it past him. I bet he's thought about it. In fact, I do believe that. I think he's actually tweeted out something to that effect, hasn't he?
Has he?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
So that does mean that he's thought about it and he wants it really, really badly. But if he hasn't insisted on it yet, that means that he has thought, well, maybe it's just not possible. Maybe that's a step too far.
Indeed. All right. Take it easy, buddy.
Excellent work. Thanks a lot, Colin. Mark in Streatham says, I've just had a brilliant idea, thanks to Emperor Palpatini hands. As he hates windmills because they kill the little birdies, and you hate parakeets because they come over here and all that, why not build loads of windmills where the parakeets live? Free electricity for you and less green squawking meanies. You can thank me later, says Mark. No, I'll tell you what, Mark, I'm going to thank you now.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. South Norwood. Hello, Philip.
Good evening, Nick.
Yes, Philip.
A couple of things I wanted to raise. I was reading the Andrew Neil article today about Cuba. The Daily Mail, where he seems to think that Trump could do what Kennedy didn't do at the Bay of Pigs.
Right.
And I've always been interested in Cuba, because I was around, when he did the Bay of Pigs. And I do read, Nick, online, the Cuba newspaper. It's called Granma.
Why?
Well, I understand that it's spelled Granma. I gather it was a ship. Castro was one of the ships that, when Castro came to Cuba, it was called Granma.
Right.
You see, and they have an English edition of the newspaper, and I just occasionally have a look to see. It all seems to be, the news always seems to be the same, that it's, Colonel Joe Smith, one of the colonels went to a meeting.
The sugar harvest is excellent this year, that's all right.
I always remember, Nick, when I watched the wonderful documentary, I don't know if you ever saw it, where Chris Tarrant went to Cuba.
No.
And he went right across by trade. It was really fascinating to see how the American influence before Castro came there, as particularly in relationship to Hershey chocolate bars, because the guy built a factory there for the sugar, you see, for the chocolate.
Have you ever had Hershey chocolate?
I've had the coffee, is it? Cookies and cream, they call it, isn't it? I believe one of their...
Right, I've really no idea.
Yeah,
it's, I would not describe it as chocolate, not me personally.
No.
I mean, having had it, if you blindfolded me and made me eat it, chocolate would not be my first guess.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's changed. It's changed beyond all of that. But as I say, it'd be interesting to see how it all develops out in Cuba.
Yeah.
The second thing, I've got some rock and roll news for you.
Go on.
Well, the man who is credited with inventing the phrase rock and roll, I gather a musical in the UK is to start touring soon about his life.
He's a DJ. Hey!
Yeah,
it's
Alan Freed.
I was going to have to take a moment to guess that. Alan Freed is the right answer.
And did you know that you have got something in common with Alan Freed?
We're both on the radio?
You were both on the same radio station and not at the same time.
Oh, really? Luxembourg?
Yes, he used to have a show on a Saturday night. It was a syndicated show, of course.
Yeah.
It was a two-hour show, mixture of things. And
I bet it was a show that was taken from American Forces Radio.
It could possibly, I don't know. I used to listen to it myself, and you could be right there. And he used to play a lot of black rock and roll singers. You had Little Richard...
Mm-hmm.
And
you can't have rock and roll without Little Richard. That's just a fact.
And Fats Domino.
Yeah, all of those
and
good people.
There's a lady, and I'm looking forward to going to see this musical because I'm wonderful to see her portrayed. Have you ever heard of Laverne Baker?
Laverne Baker, yeah. Big Mama, Willie May Thornton, all of these people. Yeah.
Yes. So I really, looking forward to...
It's going to be one of them jukebox musicals. It won't really be about anything. It'll be just an excuse to play all the hits.
I've seen excerpts of it, Nick, from the American version. It was staged in America, and it does, but it got... J. Edgar Hoover's in it as well.
Is he? I thought he was dead.
Well, yeah. They're going to show the... of how that...
Was it difficult getting through casting for J. Edgar?
I don't know.
Being as how he's dead and all?
The guy who played Alan Freed in America is playing him over here.
Right.
But as I say, they've got clips on YouTube from the American production. So
okay, I'll look it up. Excellent work. Thanks a lot, Philip. 0345-6060-973. Hey, talking about show business, was I right or was I right? This is in the Mail today. The Mail diary editor, Richard Eden, says as follows. As James Bond's new producers carry out their top-secret mission to find Daniel Craig's successor, one rumoured move has left a former star shaken and stirred. Do you see what he did there?
No.
It's been suggested that a black or mixed-race actor could be cast as the next 007, but this prospect disturbs Bond girl Mariam Darbo. Now, I'm not sure that disturbs is quite the right word here. Well, maybe it does, but that's not really quite what I got from the rest of this piece. And I bet that if she wasn't disturbed, that Mariam Darbo is quite upset at being described as disturbed at the prospect of a black or mixed-race actor being the next Bond. But anyway, the story is the actress, 65, was seduced by Timothy Dalton's Bond as cellist Cara Malovi in the 87 film The Living Daylights. You remember that? She asked what she'd think if a black actor were cast as the British spy. She says, they don't call it Bond. Then don't call it Bond. Call it something else. You can have a wonderful black hero, but then don't call it James Bond. I don't think that's right. But what difference will it make? I mean, James Bond is dead anyway. Oops, spoiler alert.
Warning, warning.
He died. There's always somebody who hasn't seen it yet. Sorry about that. Just like there's always somebody who hasn't heard Dark Side of the Moon.
Rock and roll!
And who are they talking about for the role? Well, I don't like saying I told you so, but I told you so, I told you so, I told you so. Among the leading contenders to win the role is Aaron Pierre, a Londoner who has Curaçaoan, Jamaican and Sierra Leonean ancestry. He provided the voice of Mufasa in Mufasa Lion King and starred in the Netflix film Rebel Ridge. I came in the following day after seeing this on Netflix. I was just, tuning around of an evening and you just can't find anything to watch at all. And then you think, oh, to hell with it. Whatever this is, I'll just watch this. And it turned out to be Rebel Ridge, which is brilliant. And all the way through that film, I thought, this guy looks like he could be James Bond. And then I came here on this show and said that very sentence the very next day. And now, about a year later, they're talking about this very bloke to be the next James Bond.
Amazing.
Aren't I? I mean, he looks like he could kill somebody. And he looks like the kind of person you'd want on your side in a fight. And he is British, even though he's called Aaron Pierre. Bond girl Mariam Darbo, the actress who was seduced by Timothy Dalton's Bond as cellist Cara Malovi in the 87 film The Living Daylights, said she would like to watch that wonderful Australian guy, Jacob Elordi.
What?
Oh, no. No, 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 no.
No.
No. No. He doesn't look like he's been in a fight in his whole life. Has Jacob Elordi ever been punched in the face?
No.
No. Doubtful. Bond producer Barbara Broccoli said in 2024 of the Daniel Craig's successor, it will be a man, he'll likely be in his 30s, whiteness is not a given. And this Aaron Pierre is a man, he is 31, and he ain't white. But it's not her choice anymore, see, because she sold it to Jeff Bezos.
No!
You know, that bloke out of Amazon. So who knows what'll happen. We have been expecting you, Mr. Bond, but you were out when we called. Please click here to rearrange delivery. 0345-6060-973. Atlanta, Georgia. Hello, Graham.
Nick.
Graham.
Let's see. Let's start off with big ears.
Yes.
Big ears. Shouldn't there be a bad teeth go with that?
Big ears and bad teeth.
Yeah.
Who are you describing?
I don't know anybody.
A member of the royal family, perhaps?
Maybe. And, okay, on to the real deal. Because the dog ate your homework, which you hate to do.
Yes.
I did a little research on the rose-ringed parakeets.
Oh, the rose-ringed parakeets. I'm not sure that.
Yeah,
rose-ringed.
According to my research, were 30,000 in London and the surroundings.
Wow, that's 30,000 too many, in my opinion.
It could have been, and that could have been a few years ago.
Yeah,
they breed rapidly.
Yes.
And so there could be 60,000 by now.
Easily, yeah.
They say that they have escaped from pet owners.
Idiots.
Or were... have been around since the queen was snowed. They said that a lot of ringed rose parakeets escaped from the African Queen filming.
Yeah, I also heard that it might be something to do with Jimi Hendrix.
Rock and roll!
Jimi Hendrix, yeah. Right, yeah, Jimi Hendrix, urban legend.
Yeah.
So there's a device called the Avoca Control Urban Feeder, and it's primarily used for in commercial settings like bridges and large manufacturing plants.
Yeah,
where you set these things up, and the nefarious victims feed on these things,
mm-hmm.
and the eggs don't hatch.
Right. Well, we could fill this them. We could give them like steel pellets to eat, and then deploy magnets to collect them all.
Magnets. Now, nobody knows what magnets are.
Except that nobody knows what magnets are. That is a scientific truth. Graham, I've got to go, but thanks for that. 0345-6060-973. It's just past 10:30. The news headlines with Tim Daly.
The Kremlin's dismissed claims the Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny was killed with poison from a frog as a hoax. Ministers from five European nations, including the UK, say Vladimir Putin's state is responsible for his death. Canada's foreign minister has declined to say whether her government would support US military action against Iran over its nuclear program, but Anita Anand has declared Ottawa would like to see a change of government in the Islamic Republic, and a teacher from West Sussex has been remanded after being charged with sexually abusing two pupils. Joseph Haffenden from Linfield is facing two counts of sexual assault and two more of false imprisonment. LBC weather, a band of sleet and rain and snow will push eastwards across the UK overnight. Clearer spells after that, but more showers will then develop again. We'll see lows of around 1 degree.
This is LBC. Turn up your taste buds with Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces. From mild creamy garlic and black pepper to bold smoky garlic and sun-dried tomato.
Whoa!
And spicy smoked paprika and chili.
Woo-hoo!
Try Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces with serious flavor. Dolmio, yeah!
Radio turns miles into memories. From sing-alongs with the family, road tripping with your friends, or continuing that conversation right into work. In-car entertainment is getting better and better, allowing you to create more memories than ever before. So make sure your next car suits all your radio needs.
Tax is changing from April 2026.
If you're a sole trader or a landlord,
with a turnover above £50,000,
you'll need to use recognised software to keep records
and send quarterly updates of your income and expenses.
There's no avoiding it. Tax is changing. Get ready. Search HMRC Making Tax Digital.
With a Little Plus Bakery Spin, you can get a free bakery coupon every time you shop. Just scan Little Plus at the checkout, spin, win, and enjoy a free bakery item. Little. More to value. One spin per customer per day, subject to availability. Ends 25th of Feb, 18 plus GB only. T's and C's apply. See little.co.uk/LPTV.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
You're wondering what it's all about, and I can't tell you because I don't know myself.
It's about the messages that I got on this show last night. Dave says the Antichrist married a zombie and then took over America. I wonder what's going to happen in the next season. You married the Antichrist, Zombalania.
I don't care.
She's not that bothered. Matthew says, has anybody checked what Sir Jim Ratcliffe has to say about invasive parakeets coming over here and colonising the area around Kew Gardens. Yeah, not a peep. Not a peep. Can you believe that? A billboard praising immigrants has been displayed outside Old Trafford after Manchester United co-owner Jim Ratcliffe claimed that the UK had been colonised by migrants. Of course, a billboard praising immigrants displayed outside Old Trafford could just be the photo of the team. He incorrectly claimed that the UK population had risen by 12 million since 2020. It has risen by an estimated 2.7, not 12, 2.7. And he has since apologised for his comments, and the apology went something like, sorry. Didn't sound like much of an apology to me. It sounded like, I'm sorry that you are such a snowflake that you were offended. Something like that. I don't know, maybe he was being nice. It's hard to tell when he looks like the cartoon baddie in a Batman film. Today, British protest group, British protest group, Everybody Hates Elon. Everybody does hate Elon. People with his cars can't get rid of them. There is no second-hand market for his cars. Nobody wants them. Probably because, you know, he's the chap that did the double Heil, how are you? British protest group Everybody Hates Elon released a video showing the installation of a poster outside the stadium which read, immigrants have done more for this city than billionaire tax dodgers ever will. Correct, Amundo. Jim Ratcliffe has been living tax-free in Monaco since 2020.
Oh, fabulous.
He lives in Monaco, which is a place that has been colonised by migrants. Economic migrants, at that. You know, the type that a certain element hates the most. Monaco is a place that is almost all migrants. About three-quarters of the people who say they live in Monaco come from somewhere else. Can you believe this bloke? I mean, he could go careening about the Monaco streets in a blindfold and he probably wouldn't bump into somebody who actually comes from there. And he's lecturing us with dodgy statistics about the ratio of migrants in the place that he patriotically left in order to save some tax. In order to save having to give back to the country that made him. And you can tell who the real, as opposed to phony, patriots are because of their reaction to this story. The fake ones, the charlatans in the Union Jack socks, absolutely loved what he said because it feeds into their distraction routine. Just keep distracting the gullible with tales about how foreigners are coming to take their biscuits. And they won't cotton on to the reality, which is that it's not those beneath you on the ladder pulling you down, it's those above you on the ladder pushing you down. You ain't got no biscuits, blooming billionaires have taken them all. It's not the migrants who do the jobs that we don't want to do that are the problem. It's the super rich who suck up the wealth of a place and then scarper to hide behind a wall of money for fear of having to pay a little back to the country they profess to feel pride in. And by the way, Jim Ratcliffe is worth $17.5 billion. Which is a very, very big number. Kind of hard to imagine, isn't it? So think of this. A pile of dollar bills equivalent to $1 million. It's a cube of dollar bills about 3.5 feet on each side. Have you got that in your mind? That's $1 million. Now imagine 17,000 of those. And that's $17 billion. And that's how rich Jim Ratcliffe is, according to the Bloomberg Billionaires Index. If you had $17 million, would you elect to spend the rest of your life in a packed, antiseptic, overdeveloped place of ugly tower blocks of flats and be surrounded by some of the worst people in the world, who have also decided to do the same because they don't want to give back either? Or would you enjoy your money? Would you spend the rest of your life trying desperately not to lose any of that huge pile of cash that you couldn't spend in 100 lifetimes? Or would you decide to have a nice time with it? Monaco-based billionaire Jim Ratcliffe faced implicit criticism from the football club that he co-owns after widespread condemnation of his claims that the UK is being colonised by immigrants. The Manchester United co-owner was forced to issue a heavily qualified apology on Thursday, says The Guardian, after citing inaccurate immigration statistics in comments labelled hypocritical and reminiscent of far-right narratives. Ah, now I'm going to have to take issue with that. Jim Ratcliffe can't be from the far right. I mean, look at that face. Following a day of censure from the Prime Minister, football fans, union leaders and anti-racism campaigners, Ratcliffe said he was sorry for his choice of language offending some people in the UK and Europe, which sounds like one of them sorry, not sorry moments. But I'm sure he's sincere. Look at that face. Just hours after Ratcliffe's apology, Manchester United took the extraordinary step of publicly asserting that they are inclusive and welcoming. Yeah, you bet they are. Because you know what has really been colonised by migrants? Manchester United Football Club. There's 26 players in Man United's squad. 19 of them are from somewhere else. That's 73%. Because they come over here, make our game more interesting. In a statement that did not name Ratcliffe but clearly referred to his claims that the UK is being colonised by migrants, Manchester United Football Club affirmed their commitment to equality, diversity and inclusion, saying our diverse group of players, staff and global community of supporters reflect the history and heritage of Manchester, a city that anyone can call home. I mean, think of this. Does anybody want to swap our current game, enlivened as it is with the best players from around the world, with the game that we used to have in the 1970s, when everyone on the pitch came from around the corner? Probably from the pub around the corner.
Booze.
Ratcliffe sparked outrage on Wednesday evening when, during an interview with Sky News, he took aim at immigrants and people receiving state support and cited statistics that were two decades out of date to suggest that the UK had been colonised. Would you buy a product from a man whose references are 20 years out of date? Well, it depends what the product is, I suppose. If it's doily placemats, then yes. If it's clothes and body washes, maybe not. Ratcliffe says, you can't afford, you can't have an economy with 9 million people on benefits and huge levels of immigrants coming in. He said, the UK is being colonised by immigrants. Really, isn't it? I mean, the population of the UK was 58 million in 2020 and now it's 70 million. That's 12 million people. Wrong. Way out. According to the Office for National Statistics, the population of the UK was 67 million in 2020, not 58. And the last time it was anywhere close to 58 million was 2000. So, OK, maybe the petrochemicals billionaire isn't a numbers man. Hard to believe, but OK. The other thing that is that over a third of people on universal credit are also in work. They aren't lying about the place, smoking a cigar. They're working their faces off. It's just that work doesn't pay like it used to because people like Ratcliffe keep wages low so that they can reward themselves the kind of money that they feel needs to be protected by patriotically leaving the country in which they made it. 37% of the people on universal credit are in work. It's not their fault they can't afford to live on a wage that they get. That's the fault of the people giving out the wages. And successive governments siding with the billionaires who drain the wealth out of the nation and then tell us that the country isn't working. Well, it's not working because there's no such thing as trickle-down economics. And this idea that it's the poor who are the welfare kings is completely ludicrous. Because the very same Jim Ratcliffe is, at the moment, lobbying the UK and EU governments for money to pump into his businesses.
What?
2 months ago, Ratcliffe got £120 million in government support for his petrochemical site in Grangemouth. That's £120 million of your money to a man who has £17,000 million to his name. And that refinery, by the way, has already received £70 million in state aid and £75 million in loan guarantees, which is over a quarter of £1 billion in total. £265,000 million from you to one of the richest people that the country has ever seen. Maybe he needs to live within his means. I mean, if he gave up his Netflix and cappuccinos, maybe he wouldn't need a handout. Or he could stop buying football clubs to play with. Or at the very least, he could stop pointing a finger at people without two pennies to rub together, getting the barest minimum as a safety net to keep the lights on and the fridge stocked. And you can tell who's on the side of the people and who is on the side of the billionaires. The politicians are on the side of the billionaires. And they just happen to be the ones who are funded by billionaires who pretend that they're the party of the anti-elites. I mean, it'd be funny if it wasn't so sad. Oh, and the last time I looked, the Manchester United fans absolutely hate the man, which is unfair. He's not hateful. I mean, look at his face. 0345 6060 973 LBC.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall.
Would you ever take out a loan where the lender can change the terms whenever it likes? The interest keeps rising even when your wages don't. You can't refinance it. You can't escape it.
I think the expansion in higher education has been a good thing for the country.
Over 150,000 students now have a debt of over £100,000. They're calling it a debt sentence. They'll never be able to repay it, and yet we call it a loan.
Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
We treated pensions like this. We repackaged it, changed the terms whenever the government wants. At a whim, we wouldn't hear the end of it. You'd never do it. It's just because these young people don't vote in those numbers. It's political cowardice.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall. Sunday morning from 10 on LBC.
At TfL, we're helping make roads safer. We're continuing to roll out lower speed limits because 20 miles per hour roads have already seen 24% fewer collisions causing death or serious injury. We're also improving junctions to help keep you safe. And improving visibility for our bus drivers with new wing mirror cameras. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Comparison of collisions data before and after implementation of 20 miles per hour speed limit.
With a Little Plus Bakery Spin, you can get a free bakery coupon every time you shop. Just scan Little Plus at the checkout, spin, win, and enjoy a free bakery item. Mmm. Little. More to value. One spin per customer per day, subject to availability, ends 25th of Feb, 18 plus GB only. T's and C's apply. See little.co.uk/LPTV.
Turn up your taste buds with Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces. From mild creamy garlic and black pepper to bold smoky garlic and sun-dried tomato,
whoa,
and spicy smoked paprika and chili.
Woo-hoo!
Try Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces with serious flavor. Dolmio, yeah.
Discover the world of Dobble back in McDonald's Happy Meal. Race through the worlds of music, sports, space and more. How quickly can your little one spot the match? Dobble's bursting with fun. Some fun, some food, it's all inside this Happy Meal. Until the 5th of March 2026, from 11 a.m, includes one pre-selected book or toy. Dobble range comprises toys only, while stocks last.
When it comes to retirement advice, the last thing you want is to be put in a bucket. Seen as this type of person, or that type of person. At Fisher Investments UK, we never put you in a bucket. We always tailor retirement advice that's just right for you. Fisher Investments UK. Retirement advice that's as individual as you are. Learn more at fisherinvestments.co.uk. Investing involves the risk of loss. Fisher Investments UK is regulated by the UK Financial Conduct Authority.
Leading Britain's conversation, Nick Abbott. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
Anybody care what this guy thinks?
No!
I got one of those figures wrong. It's not 265,000 million pounds. It's 265 million pounds. That he's got from us to keep his one of his companies running. 265 million, only 265 million for a bloke who's worth 17,000 million. What a life, eh? What a way to run a planet. Mary says, I used the word dalliance the other day, which brought so much pleasure to the people that I was with, all wondering why we don't use words like that anymore. Dalliance, that is a good word. Andrew in Stroud Green says, Nick, Don with the Wind as a name for Donald Trump. Now, that was a good one. Well, it made me laugh out loud. Thank you, says Andrew. Appreciate it. Don with the Wind. It's on the list. And Jill says, another one for your bingo list. Trump will produce a double-sided stamp for his MAGA followers, his face on the front and and his bottom on the back.
Don't be rude.
0345. 6060973. San Francisco. Hello, Claire.
Hi, Nick. Nice to speak with you today.
Claire.
Yes, hello.
Yes, Claire.
Yes. Nick, here's something for your bingo card.
Go on.
Okay? This has to do with the Kennedy Center. I will not call it by the new name.
Right.
I predict, I don't know, have you ever been to the Kennedy Center?
No.
There's a beautiful, big bust of President Kennedy right in the foyer. There's a nice foyer there where it overlooks the Potomac River.
Yeah.
I predict during the renovation, the bust will go and be replaced with a statue of Trump.
Wow. If that doesn't happen, I'll be astonished.
Me too.
I wouldn't
I'll
be...
even go one...
I wouldn't be surprised if that that building never reopened and he pulled it to the ground.
I was just going to say, I was going to add further, I think he's going to tear it down.
In a fit of pique, because artists refuse to play there.
Yes, yes. He'll do it in the dead of night, like he knocked down the east wing of the White House.
And he'll tell us that he's not going to do it before he does it. Yeah. Just like the east wing of the White House. Unbelievable what he's getting away with. I mean, it's just quite astonishing what that man is getting away with. When are the Republicans in your country going to acquire a spine between them?
I don't know, because each day over here is worse than the day before. It's unbelievable. He's also announced that for the annual Easter egg roll down the hill on the south lawn of the White House, he's inviting his billionaire friends to underwrite it for him.
To underwrite what? He's getting them to buy Easter eggs?
I don't know. To underwrite the Easter egg hunt for all the kids. They invite the families, the children of, it'll all be Republican government officials, of course, this year. Yeah, there are underwriting opportunities, probably if you want your name on an egg.
It's $1 billion per egg. Please make sure it appears in my Qatari bank account straight away.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And one more thing. Yeah. I don't know if you're aware of this, but, you know, he has a big birthday on June 14th, his 80th birthday.
80, right.
Right. And he is planning, this is not a joke, he is planning a UFC cage match on the White House lawn. He's going to... He's even saying that I can barely say it. They'll do the weigh-ins of the fighters at the Lincoln Memorial,
because that fits in with the majesty of the place. Yeah, ultimate fighting challenge, that thing, and all the competitors are going to get there in NASCAR cars.
Yeah. Right. They're going to have booths all along the National Mall for the fans. Yeah. And this is all to coincide with our 250th birthday this summer.
And Kid Rock will be the entertainment. Yeah.
Probably. That earthquake sound you hear will be all the founding fathers turning over in their graves.
All at the same time. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I wish you the best of luck, Claire. Having this phone call with me has certainly put you on a list. You understand that, don't you?
I know I'm in trouble. I'm in an undisclosed location at the moment.
Okay, that's a good choice. Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot, Claire. Ta-da. 0345-6060-973. Yeah. Well, it could happen here. And I know you're thinking, nah, that could never happen here. Yeah, well, that's what Americans thought as little as a year ago. Nah, that couldn't happen here. Yep, just did. And it absolutely could happen here. And the same people are being funded by the same people, and they're saying the same things, going after universities they are now. And telling you that you are restricting their free speech while they're putting you in jail for saying hurty things about them. Sandra from Littlehampton says, Nick, my mum used to say, when you get one of those hurty pimple things on your tongue, it's because you had been telling lies. Well, you know what, Sandra? Your mum was a liar. Maybe she had one of those hurty pimple things on her tongue when she said that. You think about that? Phil in Accrington says, hey, Nick, you mentioned upper inflection, which I hate, but nothing is worse than when an expert or minister starts a sentence with so. Yeah, I know, people really hate that. Particularly if it's a certain type of person.
I don't know anything.
Don't you understand? But some people, it's just organising their thought. It's like people who say, a lot. A lot. They're just, getting their brain in gear. So, like that. It's not the start of a sentence. They're just filling the gap with noise as a sort of a placeholder. I'm speaking now. I haven't actually formed a thought yet, but I will in a moment. Hang on. So... 0345-6060-973. Woolwich, hello, Richard.
Oh, hello, Nick.
Richard.
Hello. Hello, Nick. what I wanted to say was, Mm-hmm. I went to the cinema tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And I went to see Sleepless in Seattle.
In the cinema?
In the cinema, yeah. And it was a kind of Valentine's special.
Oh, right.
And you sort of think, okay, it's going to be great. It's going to be full of couples and mm-hmm. everyone's going to hold hands and it's going to be chocolate. Sort of.
Yeah.
A couple arrived, five kids.
Oh.
I mean, what? I don't understand it. Get a babysitter. Why are you bringing children to a Valentine's night? I mean, toddlers. They were like 3, 4, 5 year olds. Running up and down the stairs.
No.
Swinging around the place, screaming and shouting, saying, you know, Mummy, what's this all about? They got bored after 3 minutes. Why do you do it?
This is why I don't go to the cinema. I just don't. Maybe once a year when something big comes out, I will go on a weekday afternoon about as close to opening as I can. If they've got a midday showing, that's what I'll be in because I know I'll be the only person in there.
I loved during COVID. I mean, that was my go-to place. There was nobody who went. And I just had those cinemas to myself. And I know it's selfish of me. I want the whole place to myself.
Yeah.
But I mean, this just reflects society at the moment. Why can't people not understand how to behave in public places?
Why? I wonder if we have become more sensitive to it. I wonder if it's because more information is available now than it used to be, or whether we always used to be like this. I suspect it's the latter. Parents can't hear their children because they've got their children as background screaming all day long. So when they actually get out the house, they can't hear them anymore. Everybody else is aghast. They can't believe it. But the parents of those children cannot hear them anymore.
Absolutely. Do you know, Nick, somebody took a toddler to a Shostakovich concert. I mean, how insane is that? Shostakovich 10th Symphony, the most beautiful. And there's a kid screaming its head off.
Its head off.
I mean, yeah. So three places I've banned kids: classical concerts, mm-hmm. cinemas, yeah. and swimming pools.
And what? Swimming pools? Yeah, never introduce a child to water because they scream and they scream and they scream. In fact, that's a very good piece of advice. Do not buy a property anywhere near anyone that has a swimming pool. Just don't do it. All right, thanks a lot, Richard. Also, you should check out whether your neighbour has got one of them trampoline things. But as everybody has got one of them trampoline things in their back garden, it's going to be hard to avoid. But swimming pools, just don't buy anything near to anyone who's got a swimming pool. Because they'll have kids, and the kids cannot stop screaming in pools. They just can't. This is very good advice you're getting on this show. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Phil in Accrington says, oh no, that's the so thing. Matt says, hi Nick, did you hear that Jim Ratcliffe said that the country can't afford all these immigrants? And Nadeem Zahawi agreed with him. If we are short of a few quid, then we probably need people to pay some taxes. Maybe Zahawi could help count them all up.
And one.
Yes.
Two.
Three.
6 million.
No, that's not close. Is a very bad Zahawi. It doesn't go 1, 2, 6 million. I'm pretty sure, I'm no expert in maths, but I'm pretty sure that is not how you count.
And one.
Yes.
Two.
Three.
11.
Well, we're getting closer. That is very good. Almost scarily good. I almost wanted to step off the pavement into the road. That was so scary. Simon Embrace says, as you just said, you had so many texts from last night to read, and you were going to get lots of texts coming in tonight. I thought I wouldn't bother you with texts tonight. Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that, Simon. Am I into tonight's text already? Is that, or is there a dividing line between one and the two? Oh, God, look at this. 10 pages of closely typed information I've got to get through. How do these people get my number? That's what the mystery to me is. Why can't they just leave me alone? Natasha in Rye says, if parakeets drive you mad, don't move to East Sussex. Seagulls nest outside my window every year. It's like being caught in the middle of someone's screaming match. And if we try to open the window, they go bonkers. Yeah, and they're a protected species. I don't understand that at all. Why? Why are seagulls a protected species? We are the species that need protection from them, more like. Don't get it. I mean, it's not like there's a shortage of them. They're blooming everywhere. Marilyn in Toronto says, hi, Nick, you were talking about black squirrels yesterday. They are quite prolific here in Toronto, in southern Ontario, says Marilyn. Yeah, I never even heard of them. Black squirrels. That sounds nicer than a grey squirrel. I mean, grey. What kind of a colour is that?
Boring.
Yeah, black sounds better. And red are the best of them all. Simon in Gerrards Cross says, the solution to the parakeet invasion is simple. Privatise and outsource them to Sir Jim Ratcliffe to decolonise. It'll work every time. Well, that's something to think about. We'll ponder that a while. 0345 6060 973, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10, Nick Abbott, LBC. Still to come, your Beckham family update.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 11 o'clock. The Prime Minister has admitted appointing Peter Mandelson as the British ambassador to Washington was a mistake. He's made the comments during an interview while also insisting he will lead Labour into the next general election. More now from LBC's Jonathan Ray.
Sir Keir Starmer's been speaking after a week which began with him fighting for his job following the fallout caused by the Peter Mandelson affair. This weekend, he's been returning to the international stage, giving a key address to the Munich Security Conference. But during an interview with the on Sunday, he's gone back on the offensive against suggestions he should resign and reports of internal Labour plots to oust him. Speaking during the conference earlier, the Prime Minister said he'd ended the week much stronger than he started it.
The Kremlin's accusing the UK and its European allies of mocking the dead after claims the Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny was killed with a toxin created by a frog. Mr. Navalny was found dead at a Siberian penal colony 2 years ago. It's believed President Trump and the Israeli Prime Minister have agreed Washington should work on reducing Iranian oil exports to China. Reports from a US website are citing two officials who've been briefed on the issue. The Trump administration's been engaging in negotiations with Iran over its existing nuclear program. Police investigating the murder of a man at Feltham in West London have charged three 16-year-old boys. One of them is now accused of murder, the other two of grievous bodily harm. Experts are warning NHS dentistry is in crisis and millions of people in England are struggling to access services. The British Dental Association is claiming fundamental reform is needed. Mark Jones is the founder of the campaign group Toothless in England.
This is the 21st century in one of the largest economies in the world, and we've resorted to Victorian levels of self-care. You could describe it as self-harm.
The government says extra appointments are being created and it's trying to prioritise patients. And in sport and in rugby tonight, Scotland have stunned England with a 31-20 victory in Rugby Union's Six Nations. Earlier in the day, Ireland survived a scare to beat Italy 20-13. LBC weather, a band of rain, sleet and snow will push across the UK eastwards as the night goes on. Clearer spells later, but more showers will then develop again. We'll see a low of around 1 degree. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
He thinks he looks good in a bathing suit, he doesn't.
They opened their big mouths and out came talk.
Georgie says, Nick, did you have his mug on money on your list? Yes, I did. Yes, he was going to have his face on money. That happened last year, so it's not on this year's list. Last year's list is in my book, by the way. It's called Thank You for Your Attention to This Matter. It's on Kindle. He said, how about the school kids have to pledge allegiance to the flag and Donald Trump? No. Do they? Is that true? They have to pledge their allegiance to Tango Mussolini? The school kids? Well, I'm a bit surprised about that. I mean, I was expecting that maybe he would have his portrait in all schools, otherwise he would withdraw their funding. I mean, that does sound like him. But no, I didn't know that they had to pledge allegiance to the dear leader. That's kind of alarming, ain't it? Lydia in Sheffield says, I know what you mean about the saucy dancing during Bad Bunny, but remember Legs and Co? They were pretty raunchy too for family viewing, and they were 50 years ago. Yes, 50! Nothing much changes with the saucy dancing. Legs and Co were not saucy. No, they were not. This text says, are you high? No, I'm about, I'd say, 3 foot off the ground at the moment. I don't think Legs and Co were saucy. I mean, they were the opposite of saucy. They were just, you know, it was like totally appropriate mid-evening family entertainment. When Kenny Everett went and did his video show, he had, oh, God, what were they called? Can't remember. I remember what they looked like, but I can't remember what they were called. But, you know, you can remember their gyrations.
Disgusting.
Awful. Not suitable for family viewing, I'd say. Hoylake in the Wirral. Hello, Nora. Nora.
Hi, Nick. Nora. Is it hot gossip?
Hot gossip is the correct answer.
Thank you. So, I think I've got some news for about you. There is an ombudsman for parking fines.
Is
sorry
there?
To keep going on about this. But, yeah, because when they wrote to me to say, because I didn't pay it, and they said, oh, here's your options. Option
yeah.
one. Now, I don't think this applies to you, because was yours on the public highway?
Yeah.
Okay, this is for parking on private land.
Oh, right.
So that's one. But then, by law, we are also required to inform you that ombudsman services... www.ombudsmanservice.org.
Right, I'm going to write that down. www. Okay. By the way, who came up with that? At the beginning of the internet, they could have chosen any letter they like. World Wide Web. They could have called it anything at all, but they chose the one letter in the alphabet that's more than one syllable. And it's
exactly.
got three. And www dot is 10 syllables before you've even said anything.
What? I always think about it, just go what? But then it sounds like you're being like...
It sounds like you're in a helicopter and you're taking off.
Hooping. Yes, anyway, that was that. And then I also have a suggestion that Mr. Sahawi could take one of his warm horses out instead. He doesn't... He could just gallop past all these tired people.
That's right. That's a good idea, Nora. I'm going to pass that
on.
All right. Thanks a lot. Cheers, my dear. 0345-6060-973. Yeah, Reform MP Nadeem Zahawi said it's time to send in the army to the streets of London because the capital doesn't feel safe. Can you believe that?
No.
Speaking on LBC, the Tory defector said, do you feel safe in London? Zahawi said, no, and I'm a big guy. I don't feel safe that my 13-year-old can walk in London. That can't be right. Yeah, and it isn't right. Feeling that something isn't right doesn't make it true. I mean, I fear that a huge skinhead might dodge paying millions of pounds in tax and accidentally put the heating in his stables on expenses. But, you know, that would never happen, so fearing something doesn't make it real. He said, if I were Home Secretary, I'd be calling the Chief of Police saying, listen, if you need help, we'll send the army in. Because nothing says freakish overreaction to a problem that doesn't exist than threatening to send in the army, you know, the people who are trained in killing people, onto the streets of the capital of our country. It's also, what would Donald Trump do? Do you know where London comes on the top 50 list of cities on earth with the most murders? Nowhere. It isn't on that list. Do you know which country appears on that list more than any other? Yeah? The United States of America. It's almost as though Trump and his masters of disinformation, Musk and Vance and all of his assorted quizzlings are doing when they post this stuff about London being a crime-infested hellhole. They're actually trying to distract from their own dismal record on crime. Every accusation is a confession with these people. It's almost as though allowing any knuckle-dragging moron to own a military assault weapon is not a good idea. New crime statistics show that homicides in London are at their lowest number in a decade, with just over one unlawful killing per 100,000 people last year. It's lower than most of the cities, certainly all of the cities that are of a comparable size in the rest of Europe, and most of the smaller ones too. Nadim Zahawi, 58. Is he only 58? God. What's he done to himself? 58 years old, he said he wanted to thank Jim Ratcliffe, the billionaire co-owner of Manchester United, who said that the UK had been colonised by immigrants. A person called Nadim Zahawi said that. Does he think that the people that he is trying to appeal to would make a differentiation between him, Nadim Zahawi, and anybody else called Nadim if they were all on the tarmac waiting to be loaded on the first plane out of here? His family came here as refugees from Iraq. Hey, reformers, is this who you had in mind when you were yelling about immigrants? Or do you give a pass to someone who went on to become rich? Because if that's the case, then I suppose we should welcome absolutely everybody, because you never know. Never know. Our own James O'Brien responded to Zahawi's comments. He said, if you want to bring in the army to do something in this country, it costs the local council £4,000 per soldier per week. So if you're calling for other taxpayers to pay that while you're on the hook for £5 million to the England Revenue for avoiding paying your own share, says James O'Brien. Zahawi was sacked as Tory party chairman in 2023 after an ethics inquiry found that he failed to disclose that HMRC was investigating his taxes, and he subsequently paid nearly £5 million to settle his tax affairs. Have you, dear listener, ever paid His Majesty's Revenue and Customs £5 million to settle your affairs? I assume that the answer is no.
Yes.
But I suppose those small matters crop up occasionally when one is bad with numbers.
And one,
two,
two,
three,
11.
No. James O'Brien said, so you're calling for other taxpayers to pay while you're on the hook for £5 million to the England Revenue for avoiding paying your own share, while £17 billion in taxes is paid by immigrants in the UK. And this is... And the story here is about this incident. This incident that Zahawi recalled. Hang on. He said it made him feel unsafe. He said, yesterday I walked from my home in one of the most upmarket areas of London, if you please, and an individual walked past me. He said, I literally walked off the pavement into the middle of the road and kept a very close eye at 8 a.m. He just looked like he hadn't slept for a week. And just looked like somebody that might be violent. I don't know, but I just walked away from the pavement, he said. Somebody in a very expensive area of London who looked like they hadn't slept for a week. Any ideas?
Yeah. Wait a minute.
But be fair. Who hasn't had a frightening experience on the streets of any town when someone passed by and nothing happened? Did it occur to him that the dishevelled person might have recognised him off the telly as that bloke with the warm horses? That you might have been thinking, I know that face. I have to do my accounts pretty soon. Maybe I could ask him for some tax advice. He could have been thinking that. London Mayor Sadiq Khan responded to Zahawi's comments, said that he needed to stop being a pound shop version of Donald Trump. He said, rather than trying to copy Donald Trump, why not talk about our capital city? We are the tech capital of Europe, the second biggest tech place in the world, the cultural capital of the world, the music capital of the world. London Mayor Sadiq Khan said, rather than talking our capital city down, why doesn't the Reform Party behave like true patriots and talk our capital city up instead of copying the ideas of Donald Trump and JD fans? Think for yourself, man. Correct Amundo. About time somebody said it. 0345-6060-973. Somerset. Hello, John.
Hello, Nick. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Mr. I can't never ever get his name out of my mouth. Yeah, Zahawi?
You're never going to get it.
I'm never going to get it. But, you know, you were talking about James Bond earlier.
Yeah.
He could, because he's a big guy. And he's only afraid of very tired people. He could be the next James Bond.
No, he could be the James Bond villain. I have been expecting you, Mr. Bond. that would fit. Like he could be the new Telly Savalas.
How would that fit?
What do you mean, how? I just explained it to you.
Well, I was thinking that he could be the next James Bond himself.
No, 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 absolutely not.
And the next James Bond villain in the same film would be a very tired person. Wee Willy Winky.
Right, I don't know where that came from, but yeah, I can imagine that queues will be forming around the block at your local cinema to go see another film.
Anyway, Farage, Turkish barbers in Clacton and elsewhere.
Yeah.
Did you hear about this?
What?
Farage was saying in some interview, like a circus barker. He must have seen this. He was saying, you all know the score. You're in a small town, a small village, and there are 15 barbers turned up. You all know the drill. And he said, no one's in there waiting. If you go in there to get your hair cut, how he knows, I don't know. But you pay cash. And yeah. What he was trying to imply was, he said, they're not Turkish. He said, they're Kurdish or Iraqi or something.
Yeah.
And he was trying to imply that they're all... what's it called? Money laundering.
Money laundering. Yeah,
that's right.
Well, I think he's partly right. You know, even a stopped clock is right twice a day. Yeah, there is a big money laundering racket with like nail bars and barbers. I mean, where I live, there are so many barbers. It's almost like it's the only thing in the high street. That and a post office come small supermarket affair. And opticians, there's a couple of opticians, but almost everything else is blooming barber shops. And they spend a lot of money on making them look nice, and there's never anybody in there. The only explanation I can find is that it's a money laundering racket. But, you know, this is well known to the police, this is well known to the authorities. We've known about this for a long time, but that Farage is talking about this now does rather indicate that he's run out of stuff to say.
Well, happy Valentine's Day, by the way.
Yeah, okay, and the best of you, best of the season to you too. Thanks a lot, John. 0345-6060-973. Gary says, of course London is great. It gets all the money spent on it. Well, that's true, yeah. But it also makes all the money, so there's that. He says, meanwhile, over in China... There are multiple cities that each have jaw-droppingly space-age amazing buildings and other features. It's not all in one place. Yeah, well, you don't have to go as far as China. You just have to go as far as France or Germany. Yeah, they spread the wealth about a bit. We are a relatively small size by comparison, and we are very, very London-centric. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And the various governments that we've had in living memory have done absolutely nothing about it. Other than this HS2 thing that didn't go anywhere at all. You know, if we'd got the Chinese to build us HS2, they'd have done it by now. They'd have done it by now, and they would have buried it underground in its entirety, and it would be working perfectly. But as we're doing it ourselves, well, there's really nothing that can be done. We're going to have to wait. Your next train has been cancelled for the foreseeable future for your convenience.
Damn it!
0345-6060-973. Greenwich. Hello, Debbie.
Oh, hello there.
Hello there.
Hi. I'd like to talk about the news lately about Alexei Navalny. Yeah, about the fact that he was poisoned by frog poison, you know?
Yeah.
Do you know about that in the news?
I've heard about it in the news. I don't know anything about it. I was otherwise engaged. It had nothing to do with me, I can assure you, Debbie.
I'm sure you don't get frogs other than legs and
no.
Put guard on them. Something like that.
Yeah, so
yeah,
yummy.
I'm just finding where it came from, and allegedly, or supposedly, but not substantiated yet, but it could have come from Southern America.
Yeah.
The poison that he was killed from, you like, it's like in my mind, is a bit suspect, because it's a bit strange that this poison would come from Southern America.
All the way from down there, yeah.
Well, I just thought that was a strange thing. I thought it was not a strange thing, it was thought it was like because Trump is very friends with Putin, that maybe like the scenario might have been like, I mean, I'm not saying that it came from South America, but I'm just saying like naturally like sounds a bit like it was a very sad thing that happened.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was a very sad thing that happened. Yeah, that is true. Yeah, he poisoned one of his arch critics with some secretion from a frog. Yeah. Who, me? Poisoned with frog? Of course not. Why would I do this? Here, have some tea. Thanks a lot, Debbie, for whatever that was. 0345 6060 973 LBC.
LBC.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? A record 9 years running.
Chase is the digital bank that gives you 1% cash back on groceries.
So, can I get cash back on cake mix?
Indeed.
And icing?
Yep.
And sprinkles?
Sure.
And candles?
Yeah. And you can turn all that cash back into a nice birthday treat.
How do you know it's my birthday?
Just a hunch. Get 1% cash back on groceries, fuel and everyday transport when you spend with Chase. Search Chase Bank. 18 plus UK residents. 1% cash back on this debit card spending for your first year. Maximum £15 per month. Eligibility and exceptions apply. May be changed or withdrawn.
Turn up your taste buds with Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces. From mild creamy garlic and black pepper to bold smoky garlic and sun-dried tomato.
Whoa!
And spicy smoked paprika and chili.
Woo-hoo!
Try Dolmio Intensify. Pasta sauces with serious flavor. Dolmio, yeah!
Nothing beats that just booked feeling. Because when you book a Jet2 holiday, you start dreaming of pool days and seeing the sights. Get ahead for summer. Book now with just a £60 deposit per person. Choose from our best rooms and hotels and save £200 per couple. Nothing beats a Jet2 holiday. Package holidays you can trust. Action natural protected. Subject to availability and conditions.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
He is a very sick and dangerous man.
Very sick and dangerous. Lawrence in Brighton says, I've been to the zoo in Manila in the Philippines and London Zoo, and at least in London Zoo, they don't attach rings on the legs of owls so they can't move away when you get near them. Right. What's that got to do with anything that we're talking about? It's just a fact that occurred to him and he wanted to pass it on. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Brendan says, Nick, I've got some cotton sheets, nylon pillowcases and a silk duvet. Also, good to know, Brendan. Nylon pillowcases. That doesn't sound like a very good idea. Where did you get them? The 1960s. I mean, the static electricity off that could start a fire, I bet. You want to make sure you don't burst into flames in the middle of the night when you turn over. This text says, and it's that there are three unicorn emojis and three rainbow emojis. And the message is, here are some unicorns and rainbows to go with you with your London description. And it was an anonymous text. I don't know who you are, but I do know that you are an idiot. East Yorkshire. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good, good. Two parakeet bits and a Trump bit, if I can.
Yes.
Firstly, parakeets. If you have a problem with parakeets on your property for a small consideration, like a sandwich, a bun and a cup of tea, I will come and sort it for you. That's a promise.
In what way?
I'll shoot them.
Right. Is that legal?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
You can legally shoot parakeets?
Yes.
How do you know that is legal?
Because I shoot lots of birds, and they're in that same category. Huh. They're protected by the Wildlife Bill, but there are general licences out there, which means you don't have to apply for one. It's not like getting a passport or a driving licence.
Right.
General licences enable you to kill things like Canada geese, parakeets, pigeons, crows, blah, blah, blah.
Huh. Yeah. Well, maybe I should arm myself. With, yeah. Like, a machine gun would be a good idea. Or a bomb.
So that's parakeet one. The second bit of parakeet, this is serious now, and I joke a bit, yes. But this is serious. Parakeets carry a lot of diseases, two of which are transferable to humans. One is psittacosis, which you don't want. It's nasty, it gets your lungs. The second one is chlamydiosis. So if you are clearing up parakeet poo or whatever, be very careful.
Yes.
Because it could be very difficult to explain to your partner that you've got it off parakeets.
Yes. That is true. Yeah. Well, so, given that, I find it astonishing that the government is not doing anything about it, like, at all. We're being overwhelmed by these squawking, luminous menaces, and no one is doing anything about it. Why? I mean, have we not learned any lesson at all with these invasive species? You can't let them get out of control. You've got to nip them in the bud, by which I mean hire you to shoot them out of trees.
Well, that's right, but it's the same with Canada geese. They were introduced, and they're appalling things.
Yeah.
They eat crops, and there's no close season on Canada geese. You can shoot them any time of the year because they damage crops severely.
Right.
But they were brought in, as were grey squirrels.
Because that's the other thing that's the other thing that's annoying about Kew Gardens these days. I mean, you know me, I never complain.
Stop whining.
Kew Gardens is absolutely overrun with geese. And geese, all geese do is eat and poop. That is the only thing, the only two things they do, eat and poop. And they poop a massive amount. You would not believe it. You're playing hopscotch on every time you go on a grassy area in Kew, which is everywhere, you're playing goose poop hopscotch.
Yeah, I mean, it's not good. I mean, there's signs all over where Canada geese are present. Don't feed the geese, because they're quite aggressive and you get kids.
Yeah.
It's not like swans or ducks, right, where kids can go and throw them bits. Geese will pursue kids if they see the
well, that is a benefit.
Okay, can I do my Trump bit?
Yes.
I came across a Donald Trump fact this week, which was interesting. Do you remember that when New York State tried to prosecute Donald, his dad, and Trump Incorporated for racial discrimination against tenants? And at that point, Donald Trump met Roy Cohn, who was attorney to the mob.
Right.
And Roy Cohn said, I'll sort it. So what he did was launch a lawsuit against New York State for $100 million for character defamation against Donald Trump. And New York State backed off. And Trump had to pay, they paid an undisclosed amount, signed a letter saying they wouldn't racially discriminate against, and the criminal action was dropped. Now, that was Act 1. Since then, Donald Trump has taken out over 3,500 lawsuits against individuals and organizations in an attempt to get his own way. 3,500.
Yeah, I knew lawsuits. That figure was more or less right. Yeah, I don't know what precisely it is, but there can't be many people on Earth or in the history of humankind that has ever been involved in more lawsuits.
No, and the Clacton gas bag has the cheek to stand up and say, oh, it's terrible they're mistreating Donald Trump. They're using lawfare against him.
Lawfare, yeah, I know. Every accusation is a confession with that lot.
Well, it is. One last thing, if I can, if I can squeeze a quickie in. You know, I love annoying the Brexiter carriage, the Farage cultists down at one of the pubs I go down. I've hit on a brilliant way. It really winds them up. You know, Zia Youssef.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he was born and named and called in the early part of his life Mohammed.
Huh.
So I went in and I said, what's Mohammed Youssef? He isn't called Mohammed, he's called Zia. No, he's called Mohammed. No, he isn't. And they're so angry. They cannot accept that this guy's called Mohammed because they don't like Mohammed.
Anger seems to be their defining characteristic, which is just mystifying to me because by their own measure, they have won everything. They have won Brexit and, you know, they got the Brexit that they were voting for because they knew what they were voting for, remember? So they did know what they were going to get and they got it and they're still furious.
Yeah, they're just angry people and they won't accept reality.
Yeah. Well, reality is a difficult thing to accept. So so what the fag ash and people like that is, they just prey on the gullible, which is why they, sorry, Clacton, which is why they go to places like Clacton, because, you know, places like Clacton are full of people who are, you know, at the very bottom of the ladder and are have been sort of left behind by successive governments. And so they think, oh, you know, what the hell, let's just roll the dice. It couldn't possibly be, couldn't possibly get any worse. But, oh, yes, it could.
Big deal for the poor. Yeah, be tainted.
That, well, yes, that is true, yes. We are a country that is being led by, decisions are being made for us by the least well-educated among us. Yeah, let that sink in. All right, thanks a lot, Mike. 0345-6060-973. And I can prove that to you if you want. I have statistics. Got statistics up to my eyeballs I've got. Oh, blimey, is that the time already? Don't time fly when you're out of your mind. 0345-6060-973. Hey, by the way, the Nick Abbott Habit, the podcast that I do, of the best of clips of old shows, I think you'll love it. It's called the Nick Abbott Habit. It's twice a week now, and they are in extended forms. So it's longer, and it comes twice a week. The Nick Abbott Habit. It's available where you get your podcasts. It's particularly available on Global Player and the new LBC app. The Nick Abbott Habit comes out now on Mondays and Wednesdays. 11:30 on LBC, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
The Prime Minister has admitted appointing Peter Mandelson as the British ambassador to Washington was a mistake. He's made the comments during a newspaper interview, while also insisting he will lead Labour into the next general election. It's believed President Trump and the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu have agreed that Washington should work on reducing Iranian oil exports to China. The Trump administration's been engaging in negotiations with Tehran over its existing nuclear program. And police investigating the murder of a man at Feltham in West London have charged three 16-year-old boys. One of them is now accused of murder, the other two of grievous bodily harm. LBC weather, a band of rain, sleet and snow will push across the UK eastwards overnight. Clearer spells later, but then more showers will develop. We'll see a low of around 1 degree.
This is LBC.
Okay, do emails. Ah, burnt toast. And now I've got to sort my repeat prescription.
Or just tap the NHS app.
The one I've already got?
Yep, you can check test results, view your GP health record and request repeat prescriptions anytime, anywhere.
All while the kettle's boiling?
Before it boils. And turning on notifications means you'll know the moment you get a new message. We're delivering an NHS fit for the future. Never miss a message. Request repeat prescriptions and more when you tap the NHS app.
All right, resistance up. Let's climb.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, my knee's playing up again.
Have you ever had it looked at?
No, but I've been doing a few stretches.
When my shoulder went, Benenden Health got me expert help. Showed me exactly where I was going wrong.
30 seconds, people.
Press play on your health with physiotherapy and much more. All for less than £16 per person per month. Search Benenden Health. Fee review periodically. T's and C's apply. Qualifying periods apply for some services, including physio. UK only. Visit benenden.co.uk.
Did you know that if you buy your train tickets early, you could get a better price with Southeastern Advance Tickets? Whether you're planning a fun family day out or heading into town for a meeting, the earlier you buy, the cheaper your ticket could be. See our terms and conditions to check if it's the right ticket for you. Buy your advance train tickets now from the Southeastern app or website and pay no booking fees.
Southeastern. This is LBC with Nick Abbott.
You're joking.
0345-6060-973. San Francisco. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Nick. Got a couple of disc jockey stories to tell you.
Hey.
I am old enough to have listened. Right, hey, I am old enough to have listened live to Alan Freed.
Well, that must have been exciting because that was the dawn of a new age. It was new music, and yeah. In America, everything was in Technicolor anyway. And suddenly, the kids were jiving like there was no tomorrow. It must have been thrilling.
Well, I'm going to be 80 on our mutual birthday this summer, so old I had to be to listen to Alan
pretty good.
Freed.
It's a pretty good age to be though, because you lived through. I mean, I was 17 in 1976. in 1977, which is right. An excellent time to be 17, you know, punk and disco and hip-hop, they were all invented around about that time. How marvellous. You, on the other hand, you had that when you were relatively young, when you were 27, and you had the rock and roll. You went through rock and roll when you were 17. How about that?
Absolutely, all of those things. Mr. Freed, by the way, I think he died later on in Palm Springs, California, before
right.
I moved there, so he was something of a legend. There's one other jock I wanted to mention to you. You probably don't know the name, but his name is Ron Landry. He became very big in L.A., but when I listened to him, I was going to school in Connecticut. And he was on a station called WDRC and had a morning show, and he had a character named Dan Press. And Dan Press was the leather seat degree reporter for people who were getting up on cold mornings and had to open their car door and sit in their seats. The surface of the seat was always much colder than the actual air temperature. And I thought of this yesterday when you were talking about your heated car seats.
Heated
this is the day
seats.
Before they had such things.
Well, in America, I'm telling you this, like you don't know, they would get up in the morning, they would go out and turn their cars on and then just leave them there to warm up while they had their breakfast, because otherwise it'd be, they'd be like shoveling snow off the windscreen. So, because you didn't really care about the price of petrol, gas, but whereas we did here. We were always, I don't know, America in the 60s and 70s, to us in this country, it seemed like it was in Technicolor, and our life here in Britain was sort of a sepia-toned, kind of grey-brown. I always loved, anything American, and I think that was, common with most people my age in this country. It just seemed so exciting compared to the dull life that we had here. But things have changed. And I don't envy your current location, Mike. But thanks for that. The correspondent from San Francisco. Patrick says, Paris is great. They have the Crazy Horse Saloon. I was there in 1968. The same girls are on stage. Is that a fact? Jeremy says, why would Donald Trump share Mount Rushmore with the other presidents when he could have his own mount? Well, that is a good point. He wouldn't want to have to share with those other losers. I prefer presidents who didn't die. And Steve says, how long do you think that it will be before Trump says he is the Messiah? Well, I would expect it any day now.
You know, nobody has done more for Christianity. Nobody has done more for religion of all type than me.
Yeah, okay, it's already happened. Oldbury, hello, ranchers. Too late. Oh, that's a shame. He's been waiting forever. Wanstead. Hello, Sophie.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
I am great, mate.
I'm so pleased to say the half-term holidays have started now. So the school fraternity can breathe a sigh of relief.
Yeah, and the rest of us are freaking out because we're going to be surrounded by kids everywhere we go.
This is the thing. In Westfield, they're scooting about on roller skates, so I'm going to try and avoid it as much as I can.
Roller skates?
I know. You're not supposed to.
Well, it's a bit old-fashioned, isn't it? Roller skates?
No, not roller skates. The ones with the blades.
Blades, right.
The ones with the wheels all lined up
right.
In one straight line.
Yeah, I got it. I occasionally drive by a large group by like 20, 30 kids, all on rollerblades or skates, whatever. And they're all sort of lurking about the place. I drove past a big group of them the other day, just around about the Vauxhall area. And I thought, oh, please don't all take off at once and start surrounding me like a cloud of mosquitoes. But they were having some sort of conference about, who they were going to, I've got no idea, knock over and steal their phone. I don't really know what it was. What route they were going to take for, their own pleasurable amusement.
I know everyone thinks that I work with teenagers, are irritants.
Yeah.
But what kind of world have we given them? What kind of adults rule this country and what kind of example do they set?
That's true.
So we can't really blame them. They're a product of the people around them and the society they live in.
I blame you.
I'm trying to educate them, Nick.
it's either the parents' fault or it's the teacher's fault. No, I know it's not the teacher's fault, but it's the parents' fault.
Oh, of course. And they forget they're the adults in the room. So,
yeah, right.
You know, they've lost their leverage. They don't understand.
Hey, wake up, parents. You're not their friends. Stop trying to be their friends.
Exactly. You need to be the adult in the room.
Correct.
But the parents already look exhausted, and it's only been a day and a half. They look ashen-faced and grey.
Yeah, I bet they do. Yeah. Well, thanks for the reminder. It does, because it's worth reminding us people who haven't got those horrible, screaming, snot-filled bags of wine, that you better not go out for at least the next week, because otherwise you're going to be surrounded by kids. I'm just going to be staying in. Thanks for the reminder.
Thank you. And Nick, Nadeem Zahawi, I've already had a rant about him to Sheila, is an absolute twit of the first order. He's an immigrant. His parents were immigrants. Yeah. He comes from Iraq.
Yeah.
He forgets what we did in Iraq, the West, when I say we. And I really feel that he doesn't even believe what he's saying. I think he's just going with the zeitgeist. And we've got this underbelly of prejudice and rancid hatred for anyone who looks different from what the West, people from the West. And as I said before, they want us to look the same, eat the same food.
Yeah, but what's curious is that that message is coming from those people, like Zahawi, like Zia Yusuf. And I just wonder if they think that if they were in a crowd of people on the tarmac that Reform had organised to, you know, send them back to where they came from, do they really think that Reform voters would differentiate between the mob that is on the tarmac ready to get delivered back home and Zia Yusuf and Nadeem Zahawi? Do you think they'd say, oh, no, not you two, you can stay? Is that really how they think it would play out?
Absolutely. And we've entered some sort of dystopian world where people follow the likes of Trump and all the other racist politicians in this country. And what that man said from Manchester United, that's an absolute disgrace, considering the makeup of that football team.
Yeah, I know. There's another excellent reason not to root for Manchester United, as though the country needed another one. All right. Thanks a lot, Sophie. 0345-6060-973. Yeah, I know which side of the city I'm rooting for. Steve said, I don't know, I read that one. How long do you think it'll be Trump before Trump says he's the Messiah? He's done that already. No one has done more for religion of all kinds than me. That's what he said. Imagine that. A grown-up saying that. I mean, if your relative said that, you'd probably just, you know, roll your eyes and make a mental note not to invite them around it again. If somebody said that to you in a pub, you'd sidle away, think they're a moron. The world's most powerful man said that. No one has done more for religion of all kinds than me.
You know, nobody has done more for Christianity. Nobody has done more for religion of all type than me.
No one has done more for Christianity than him. Like, some of you may have your finger in the air and ready to suggest Jesus, but you would be wrong about that, because it's Donald Trump. I think that the human race has taken a wrong turn. How about you? Let's have... let's see if he's ready for us. Ranjit?
Oh, yeah, I was ready for you earlier, but you just cut me off.
Right, yeah. Well, you failed to appear at the required moment.
I'm here now. Right. Okay. You know what? I've got so much to say today. Right. First of all, Fred, he lives in France. He come to visit me. He's quite ill, and he he says, you know, he's not very well, so can I wish him all the best and all the family from this radio station.
Right. Probably be better to actually say it to him to his face rather than saying it to me.
I FaceTime him, right, and I said I'd mention him.
Right.
You know, he's an old soldier.
Okay.
You know Nadeem Tawahi, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever his name is.
He took a wide berth, yeah, when he's walking past this person,
yeah,
you know, in his posh town, okay? So, you know, when he's at his country club, yeah, with all these people, you know, he should leave some books there where he can listen to what people say about him. They probably take a wide berth past him in his country club and saying, oh, this Johnny Foreigner has just made a lot of money. Now he thinks he's one of us. I bet you there's loads of people saying that. Trust me on that one, Nick.
I can't trust you because you're just making it up, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay. You won't be surprised, yeah? So now, you know when his parents first come here, when he was walking somewhere, you know, people were probably taking a wide berth about him. That is what I really get annoyed about, okay? Now, the other James Radcliffe, what he said, you know, colonising this country, but hasn't he colonised Monaco?
Yes, it's like 75% foreigners in Monaco. Foreigners have colonised that country.
Yeah, and recently, Nick, I know I'm going about, I've heard all this thing about, what was his name, that says, do you pass the cricket test?
Which I think means, are you white? are you one of us?
Yeah, I mean, years and years ago, when I used to phone another radio station up, right, and somebody said, oh, well, this Ranji, you know, he's typically British and everything.
Yeah.
But who does he support when India play England in the cricket? So they phoned up and asked me, and I just said the winning side, right? And you know what? The thing is, you know, do you pass to... How many Man United fans live in London or Liverpool live in London?
Yeah, most of them live in China, I think.
Yeah, so, you know, Radcliffe, right, he sells the footballs, right, which are made in India, and you're paying, you know, 20 rupees for it, say, I don't know, maybe a pound, and selling it for 50 quid here. These people are, all of these people that are using racism now, right, as a weapon to, you know, flare up the right, are shameless. In my opinion,
it's using it as a distraction. Essentially, it's picking on people who are gullible enough to believe the message that the reason that their life hasn't worked out, you know, like they would want, like they had dreamed, is because poor people are coming over to take their biscuits, but they don't have any biscuits because the rich people have a monopoly on biscuits.
Yeah.
I know we're not talking about biscuits, but you know what I'm saying.
No, I know. I do research on this kind of stuff, right, before I comment, right? Everyone's going, I'll blame Starmer for James Radcliffe leaving the UK, yeah? Well, the guy left in 2020, right?
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with Starmer.
Who was in power then? It was the Tories,
yeah.
Right? So a lot of people, I mean, you know, on your Facebook page, yeah, I comment, yeah. I mean, it's not your...
I haven't got one.
I know you don't look at it, right? Because you know what? I should never look for compliments because sometimes it can backfire on you.
Yeah.
Right? Someone's on there, he said, well, you know what? You're objecting to Muslims. You're sick enough for Muslims because you're a Muslim yourself, right? And many a times, right, I've said I'm a Sikh, but whether I'm a Sikh, Christian, or a Muslim, or a Buddhist, right, next night, I'm Ranjit from Albury.
Yeah.
And one of your fans, his name's Terry Hughes, right, he's mentioned something on your group, right? He lives in Calgary. He used to live in Tipton, which is just up the road from me. He says he loves my accent. So I'm really British and I feel British, right? But people say to me, oh, where do you really come from? And if I was in one of these country clubs in the Dean's Hours or whatever, I'd say, mate, where do you actually come from? Mate, where are you from? Right? And that's where the braverman, because like you just said, right, these people in the reform, you know, once they've got the Muslim vote, once they got the ethnic votes from the rich people who were ethnics, right? Because suddenly, right, you're an ethnic, right, but you are rich. Yeah, you know, but
yes, but their fans won't differentiate with rich. They don't really care about whether someone is rich or not. The people that they're trying to appeal to would have them on that plane along with everybody else. I don't know why they assume that they wouldn't. I mean, I imagine that they know that that is the case. But, you know, it's like shooting fish in a barrel, trying to get gullible people to go along with the idea that it's poor people, like damp people coming in on a boat. That is the reason that they're not doing that great. Ranji, I've got to go, but thanks for that. 0345-6060-973.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
With the economic warning lights flashing red on the dashboard, there's more troubling data due next week when the level of inflation and jobs figures will be released. As if it hasn't been tough enough already.
I will never walk away from the mandate I was given to change this country.
Are more figures on the way to steer the government? Of course.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Back Monday morning from 7. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Tuesday night on the sofa, watching telly with mum again.
Male hawkers stay with their mothers for life.
This is the moment Stephen chose to speak to Barclays about Mortgage Boost, so he could borrow more with help from family or friends. We're helping first-time buyers get on the property ladder sooner. Search Barclays Mortgages. Barclays. Make money work for you.
Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage. Subject to application, financial circumstances and borrowing history. T's and C's apply.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Across the country, thousands of drivers are feeling electric about switching to an EV. And here's why. They can go from London to Sheffield on a single charge that could cost around a fiver. They're ecstatic about that and the exhilarating feeling behind the wheel. Plus, with charging made simple at home, they're always ready for the drive ahead. I can see why they're into it. Switch to an EV and get that electric feeling. Costs and range dependent on tariffs, model and driving habits. For full details, visit gov.uk/clean energy.
You want £1 million.
I'd love £1 million.
So you enter the birthday draw and you think of a way to spend £1 million.
I'd deposit regularly into a retirement fund that safely tracks the market.
It's a lucky day and you win the birthday draw.
I can't believe it.
And you buy a snake and a superbike instead.
Yeah, baby.
Is it your lucky day? For your chance to win £1 million, just search the birthday draw and enter now. From Global and ITV. 18 plus UK only. No purchase necessary.
Turn up your taste buds with Dolmio Intensified Pasta Sauces. From mild creamy garlic and black pepper, to bold smoky garlic and sun-dried tomato,
whoa,
and spicy smoked paprika and chili.
Woo-hoo!
Try Dolmio Intensified Pasta Sauces with serious flavor. Dolmio, yeah!
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Dude! Okay, here is your Beckham family update. In the absence of a lot of news about Meghan... you know Meghan Markle, don't you?
No!
Yeah, that's her. There's an absence of Meghan Markle news, which the Beckham family have filled. There's a big void in the papers, which they have filled. These are all headlines on the same news site on the same day. David and Victoria Beckham call each other their forever Valentines with sweet throwback snap. Harper Beckham calls dad, David, her first and always Valentine, while Victoria shares her love for Cruz's girlfriend, Jackie Apostle, in united display amid feud with Brooklyn and Nicola Peltz. Cruz Beckham shows family bond is stronger than ever as he shares first glimpse at his new music video starring Victoria's dad and David's beloved Pie and Mash Cafe after estranged brother Brooklyn cut all ties. Cruz Beckham rocks an 80s car salesman look, while promoting new single with girlfriend Jackie Apostle, as fans praise track as the perfect cross between the Beatles and Oasis. Yeah, that's right. It's the perfect cross between Beatles and Oasis. Yeah. No. Brooklyn Beckham flaunts his lavish lifestyle by splashing out on California's most exclusive wine for £1,464 after his wife Nicola Peltz's huge monthly allowance is revealed. Did that bloke spend 1,464 quid in a bottle of wine? Brooklyn Beckham cooks up a feast fit for a family in his latest cooking tutorial, but has to tuck into it on his own amid estrangement as wife Nicola Peltz puts the boot in again by sharing tributes to her close siblings. David Beckham shares heartbreaking tribute to estranged son Brooklyn after he covered up his tattooed tributes to his family amid feud. Isn't that heartwarming? They're communicating with each other through the medium of tattoos. David Beckham sells his $19.8 million Miami penthouse for a tidy profit 6 years after buying the lavish pad amid ongoing feud with estranged son Brooklyn. Buying a treat for Victoria, David Beckham cozies up to Hermes VIP boss Michael Kost after selling his Miami penthouse for a tidy profit. And David Beckham stays loyal to his humble roots as he picks up a low-key lunch from a fish shack in Essex. Right, there you are, all caught up. Hazelmere. Hello, Della.
Hello, Nick. Della. I was worried about that what I was going to say was a bit stupid, but after that monologue, I think you're the winner.
Exactly.
I wanted to say a couple of things. Nazim Zahawi, you know, with this thing, he's frightened of tired people. He should never get an early morning bus.
No, or a late night bus.
Exactly.
Or a bus terrified of any kind. Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly, exactly. But my main point was that you had a lady on yesterday called Aisling, and I believe is Irish, and she was saying about this phrase, a whistling woman and a crowing hen. And when she was talking about whistling, I knew that's what she was going to say, because my mother was Irish and she used to say it as well.
Well, what's the it against? Give us the whole thing.
A whistling woman and a crowing hen will frighten the devil out of his den.
And right.
Yeah. This was from the 70s, 80s, when, you know, it was just a bit of misogyny was just fine. You know, it was all right for the boys to whistle, but yeah, women shouldn't.
That's right. And it's a bit unbecoming.
Yes, absolutely. And it's also why Roger Whittaker was a man, because he used to whistle.
No, that's not correct. No, Roger Whittaker could whistle because he was a man, but he wasn't a man because he could whistle.
Oh, my God, you're blinding me with logic.
Yeah.
See, at least we've got off the back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But
so under what circumstance would your mother say that?
If I was whistling.
Oh,
and then
right.
I would think too much, and you'd get, you know, one of those looks. And I would think to myself, he won't frighten the devil out of his day, just out of sheer, what's the word, rebellion. But I didn't say it because, you know, you just wouldn't.
Because,
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Different times. But the thing I wanted to say was, now, about Irish sayings, because I know that you sometimes use the word Egypt, which is a great word.
Mm.
But there's a great one for a less than kind or a rather nasty old woman, which is an old hairpin. I don't know if you've ever heard that.
A hairpin?
Yeah, it's brilliant. So, you know, like, if they were watching that thing with Pam Bondi in Dublin, someone would look at the screen, that old hairpin. That,
but,
and the same
is it
for Melania.
Is it because she is a person that might wear a hairpin, or she resembles a hairpin?
No, it's just a generic word. It's like an old bag, but it's a bit not a very nice one.
Right, okay.
Someone Irish can probably correct me on it. And another thing is... Andrea Jenkins and those ones, whenever I see them, that Nadine Dorris and Sarah Poach, and you just think, you're silly old hairpins, honestly. What are you following these old white blokes about? Honestly, I'm not the smartest person, Nick, but I worked in the city for years. All old white blokes like that think women before is having children and doing PowerPoints. They do not consider you their equal, and they never will.
Right.
And I just don't know why they're running after them, really.
You could hazard a guess. I'll hazard a guess. Might be something to do with that. Got no idea.
But it's a trade-off, isn't it, between self-respect and that? And
yeah.
Yeah. And the final thing was, there's a show called, I shouldn't admit to watching this, but it's called The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Have you heard of this thing?
I've heard of it. I have not watched it.
It's shameful. call the vice squad. But yeah, it's it's the women with Botox from Beverly Hills,
right?
And it's all this sort of made up reality stuff.
Mm.
And I always think that should be called Six Old Hairpins from California. It would be a much much.
Well, you've given me a new avenue of insults to play with, and I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. All right. Good work. Right. Thanks a lot, Bella. Ta-da. Shashaf says, Nick, do you want to tell me Trump Pinocchio signed a Bible and it didn't burst into flames? Well, that's another excellent reason not to believe in God. Maria says something very nasty about Hershey's, but that is factually accurate, Maria. Olivia says, it's the worst chocolate ever. Mark, you, since Cadbury's have produced cocoa solids, it's not as nice as it used to be, says Olivia. Well, Olivia, nothing is as nice as it used to be. Oh, no, I've just become one of those people. I take that back. Everything is better than it used to be. Hey, kids.
Stop whining.
0345 6060 973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at midnight. The Prime Minister has admitted appointing Peter Mandelson as the British ambassador to Washington was a mistake. He's made the comments during an interview while also insisting he will lead Labour into the next general election. Sir Keir Starmer's been talking to a newspaper after giving a key speech to the Munich Security Conference on Saturday. He used it to call on Europe to stand on its own two feet over the issue of defence.
The road ahead is straight and it is clear. We must build our hard power because that is the currency of the age. We must be able to deter aggression. And yes, if necessary, we must be ready to fight.
The widow of the Russian opposition leader, Alexei Navalny, says she's glad the truth has been uncovered about her husband's death. The UK and four European allies say lab tests now show she was poisoned with a substance originating from dart frog venom. The Kremlin says the allegations are part of a Western disinformation campaign. But Yulia Navalny is convinced by what she's heard.
Now, it's not just words. It's scientific proof that my husband, Alexei Navalny, was poisoned and killed by Russian government and by Vladimir Putin and Russian prison.
It's understood a fast-spreading measles outbreak at several North London schools has left children needing hospital treatment. The UK Health Security Agency has reported 34 confirmed cases in Enfield between the new year and the 9th of February. A newspaper is claiming more than 60 suspected infections have been reported in Enfield. A new report is warning the gender pay gap will not close for another 30 years. It's come from the TUC and says changes will continue to be slow at the current rate of progress. It believes the average woman effectively works for free for 47 days each year compared with men. And in sport and in the Championship, Millwall are now third after beating bottom club Sheffield Wednesday 2-1 at Hillsborough on Saturday. Blackburn were the 3-1 winners at QPR and have now moved clear of the relegation zone. They go above Portsmouth, who lost 1-0 to Sheffield United. LBC weather, a band of rain, sleet and snow will push across the UK eastwards overnight. Clearer spells will then follow, but more showers will then develop. Lows of around 1 degree. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC, from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
What in places goes on inside that head of yours?
Oh, hello there. Very nice to meet you.
Yes, what a delight. Let's go to Usley near Uxbridge and talk to Deborah.
Hello, Nick. Can you hear me?
No.
No, you can't. I'm phoning about Alexa, and we've got an Alexa in the kitchen, and when I ask, who is the Member of Parliament for Uxbridge and South Ruislip? It gives us the wrong answer. Why do you keep plugging Alexa if it doesn't give factual information?
That artificial intelligence bot is an idiot.
And that's your best answer. Don't you think the global news can use its global influence and get the factual answers changed?
Well, what does it tell you is the answer?
Well, it says it's Boris Johnson, and the real person is Danny Beals, MP. He got elected in 2024 on the 4th of July, when we had a new Labour government led by Sir Keir Starmer.
Hmm. Have you asked it anything else?
Well, I just think that's enough. Enough is enough, having to listen to Boris Johnson being our MP.
Yes.
The great big greedy nincompoop.
That great big greedy nincompoop.
Yeah, so he's not our MP anymore.
Right, it's bad enough that you've got to live near Uxbridge. That you have to put up with that.
I'm part of the Brunel University of London contingent. I did Psychology 101, possibly with you.
Did you?
Well, I did that. You know, you had to do 4-year degree courses then.
Yeah.
I was doing law, and I did sociology and psychology as the two other options. Which ones did you do?
Which electives did I do? I don't remember doing any. I know you had to do statistics.
Boring!
Ugh. That was in the first year. I opted out of that pretty quick. I did, I think I did electives within the subject of psychology. I don't think I branched out. I think I did developmental and, don't ask me. I've got no idea. I forgot almost the entire 4 years in about 4 hours after my finals.
I keep trying to get the Vice Chancellor to get you a fellowship of Brunel University. Would you go to a ceremony and tell the students what life's really like if Brunel University managed to get you one?
No. But thanks for asking. The only reason I went to Brunel was because they had a radio station. Hey, DJ! And I spent most of my life either there or hanging around the flat with the other layabouts trying to do anything other than work.
Which block were you in for accommodation?
Well, in the first year, they put you in, as you probably know, in the halls of residences. And in the second year, you've got to go out and fend for yourself. And that was dreadful. I lived in a place two stops down the line. Can't remember. Ickfield?
Ickenham.
That's right. Some icky place. Yeah, dreadful. I had to, because I went away to America on my first year. That was my placement. I did Camp America. You know, I went to be a lifeguard and a swimming instructor in some camp in Massachusetts. Fortunately, no kid died on my watch, which is remarkable luck on my part. And I came back, and having been away, I didn't get to sort out the accommodation. And so they just put me with somebody who was doing computer science.
Oh, no.
Oh, and his entire conversation was about computers. And this was in a period when nobody had one, and I couldn't have been less interested. God, he was so dull. And he had like about 8 hours of lectures a day, and I had, you know, doing psychology, about one, if that. And so I would get up after he'd gone and come back after he'd gone to sleep, just in order not to have to speak to him. And that was in the second year. And in the third year, we were in flats.
Isambard Close?
Quite possibly, yes. But I do remember... Have you ever seen... Clockwork Orange?
Yes.
Yeah.
I know. The lecture theatre.
Well, the lecture theatre and also one of the internal rooms in the Clockwork Orange with the bed with a wooden table by the side of it. I could swear that was the very room that I had, although they probably do all look exactly the same. But that was the furniture that I had as a kid in the first year at uni. Yeah, so what year were you there?
I started in 1979, after the first year, I took a year sabbatical to become Vice President Sports. I got elected as Zog, the Mad Dwarf from 2000 AD.
Well, it's good to make your acquaintance, Zog. And thanks for that. All right. Cheers, Deborah.
Thank you.
Sorry about your Alexa issue. There's really nothing we can do about that. It's
yes, there is. You can ask management to ask Alexa, can't you?
Well, I'll send a stern note to Jeff Bezos. That'll teach him. All right. Thanks a lot, Deborah. Cheers, my dear. 0345-6060-973. I barely ever met anybody that went to uni at the same time as me. The only other person that I know who was there, who was on my course, was... And as I approached the end of this sentence, I thought, oh, my God, I'm not going to be able to remember what her name is. The woman off the telly, you know, her. Oh, I can't believe I can't remember her name. Do you ever get that? You start a sentence and you think, oh, no, I can't remember where this is going. And you confidently continue the sentence thinking, by the time I get there, I'm bound to remember what her name is. And now it's just waving me goodbye. Like, I always think of it as on one of those Wild West trains, you know, with that sort of, the deck at the back. It's just waving me goodbye. Bye. You'll never remember me again. Bye. Oh, well, never mind. Comedian. Quite large. Been around for eight. She was a mature student, by which I mean, well, there was a few on my course. And Joe Brand is the right answer. There you go. Yeah, she was a mature student on my course, which meant that she was, and the other mature students, they were the ones that did all the work. And in seminars, they would be the ones to put their hand up and, you know, actually make contributions. And I was still in the mindset of a scruffy schoolboy. I wasn't going to make any contributions. Were you asking me anything for? Oh, sir! You know, like that kind of thing. But they were all really, you know, ready to go. They were motivated. I was just there because the idea of actually going to work seemed just awful. What a prospect. And my parents would have had a major cow if I didn't go to university, if I could. So I picked the one with the radio station and wasted my entire 4 years there. And look at me now. What an absolute shocker. Let's have Sanderstead. Hello, Simon.
Oh, hello there. Evening.
Yes, sir.
Yes. About a year or so ago, we had a conversation about woke scones, which the Daily Telegraph was running.
About
and now, because there's nothing else in the news, yeah. And the right-wing press want to wind up their purple-faced angry readers. They found another woke story.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. It's the Daily Fail and the Scum have been leading this one, and the Scum has screamed out its headlines, Peppa Prig, Fresh Woke Madness, as theatre axes sausage rolls and bacon butties from its cafe during Peppa Pig live show. Can you believe it?
No. I actually can't.
It's true. Now, The Guardian is, as usual, has a more measured story and goes into the full details. And what has actually happened is PETA, which is the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals, wrote a letter to Grimsby Auditorium in Lincolnshire saying that we see that you've got this show coming up. And as the fictional pig family comes to life on stage, real pigs lose their lives for the bacon and sausage in your cafe. Mm. It's a jarring contradiction, encouraging children to cheer for Pepper and her family one moment, then inviting them to eat the flesh of pigs the next.
Well, that's they've got a good point, I suppose.
Oh dear, oh dear. It's you know, they get quite verbal about it, going on about body parts of pigs and all that. Anyway, they managed to persuade Grimsby Theatre, and they've actually removed all the animal products from their cafe during the show.
Right.
So if you want to go and eat vegan sausages and bacon, then Grimsby's the place.
Right. Well, there's another excellent reason not to go to Grimsby. I want you to keep your eyes peeled, and as soon as there are any developments in that whole Peppa Pig story, I want you to let me know straight away. All right, Simon?
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much.
Peppa Pig World. Peppa Pig World is... It has...
Peppa Pig?
Peppa Pig
is the right answer. Well done, Bodge. You should be an MP or something. Think about it. Uxbridge is lovely at this time of year. Emma in Glasgow says, Nick, I was on holiday in Cuba when Castro died. I bought a copy of The Grandma with his... That's the in case you weren't listening earlier, that's the newspaper in Cuba. I bought a copy of The Grandma with his obituary on the front page. Cost the equivalent of about a quarter of a penny. One of my weirdest but most cherished possessions. Huh. Well, you should maybe zip over to the Antiques Roadshow. They'll give you a quotation. Charles in Manchester says, James Bond is not dead. He is here in this care home, and he's being treated for PTSD. How are they going to get around that? Because, spoiler alert...
Warning! Warning!
In the last film, James Bond actually died. Unless he is impervious to bombs, which he isn't. So how are they going to get around that? I think they're just going to ignore it, aren't they? They're just going to pretend it didn't happen and carry on regardless. And we'll all go along with it. It might seem a bit strange for about 10 seconds, but then he'll probably punch somebody in the face and shoot somebody else from a long distance. And we'll settle in and enjoy the mayhem. And I repeat my assertion that it should be either that bloke, Aaron Pierre, that I was talking about earlier on, who I will take 100% of the credit for that. Nobody else was talking about him until I mentioned him, having seen that film Ridge something. Danger Ridge or Ridge something or other. It's on Netflix. Great film. And now they're talking about him for the new Bond in the Daily Mail. Can you believe that? And the other one is that bloke whose name I can never remember from Starred Up. That prison thing. Mark it down. One of those two. Idris Elba. No, Idris Elba's... his name keeps coming up because I don't really know why. He's too old, apart from anything else. No, not him. No, the bloke from Starred Up. The white bloke. Anthony Welsh. A message coming from next door. I have no idea who that is. Anthony... You're just making up names at random now. Yes. Yes. Yes, she said. Aha, charade you are. 0345-6060-973. Jack McFlip? No. Now you're just being ridiculous. LBC.
This is LBC.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard this Air France message. Craving an unforgettable destination where culture, history, architecture, romance, and the excellence of French gastronomy all meet? With Air France, Paris and all its delights have never been closer. Starting March the 29th, enjoy twice daily flights to Paris from £98 from London Gatwick, return including tax. Elegance is a journey. Air France. To book and for terms and conditions, visit airfrance.co.uk.
This time last year, Hassan was working in sales and spent his evenings gaming. Now, he's working as a prison officer.
You know what's going to happen, it's not worth it. Let's just go in there.
He's tackled cell fires, got through to some of the most challenging prisoners, and helped support their rehabilitation. He's done things he once thought he was never capable of, but he still loves his gaming. An extraordinary job done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
And I can't stand him.
Steve says 60,000 parakeets in London and they're all in our garden. Well, that's what terrifies me. I mean, what if that actually happened? I mean, they flock somewhere. What if they decided randomly to flock in your garden? What if every night thousands of parakeets all decided to, you know, have a chirrup in a tree in your garden or within half a mile of where you live? You'd never be able to sell your house. I mean, you'd want to leave, but you wouldn't be able to sell it. The racket. What could you do about that? I mean, there should be something that is being done. It's they're an obvious menace. They ruin the habitat for our native songbirds. And they don't belong here. Somebody should be getting rid of them with great vengeance. I mean it. Keith says, Hi, Nick. Keith here. I've got a new Trump bingo card for you. He's going to name the next pandemic virus after him. DJT 2028. It's spawned in a shack in Dingalingsville, Oklahoma. I've been there. It's a great place. Lovely people. It was spawned after a banjo-playing dingaling is bitten by a raccoon. It spreads quickly, causing a global pandemic. Symptoms include cankles, an orange hue to the skin, and an irrational fear of outsiders, ultimately resulting in mass extinction. DJT is immune and the only person to survive, thereby truly making him the king of the world. Sounds like a listener with material to me.
Oh, no.
And, let's see. Andrew in Stroud Green says, Trump bingo. Since Jeff Bezos now owns the Bond franchise, surely the next Bond will be Donald Trump. Add that to your Trump bingo card. No, that's too ridiculous. But I am putting down Donald Trump will want a walk-on part in the new Bond film, like he had in Home Alone 2. Anybody want to bet that he doesn't insist on that? 0345 6060973. Bath. Hello, Laura.
Hello, Nick.
Laura.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, whatever. No, it's you're too late.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are. 15th now.
Well, I was going to say a lot of people love you and all that jazz, but, never mind.
Too late.
If you're going to be sassy...
Pedantic is what I'm being.
You're being sassy.
Pedantic.
Well, whatever.
I insist on sticking to the facts, ma'am.
Okay. I was going to... you wanted to talk to me about parakeets, right?
No.
You did! Don't gaslight me. You said last night.
Parakeet. How do you get rid of parakeets?
I don't know.
Well, that's no help.
Well, I had a few theories. You know how they say about noughts and crosses, that the one who controls the centre controls the board. If you could find a way to sort of become a leader for these parakeets, with the damage that they're doing to local ecosystems, I think you'd be in a very powerful position.
Yeah, I would like clip wings onto myself and say, follow me.
I didn't mean like that. I meant more like just training them with food or something. But I love the passion.
Be their leader.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that they would recognise me as one of their own.
Well, I mean, not when you keep going on the radio and being so anti-parakeet all the time.
Yeah.
But
well, everybody's anti-parakeet. Everybody hates those squawking luminous monsters.
No, I mean, yeah, it's not their fault they're here,
isn't it? Hey, have you heard about the dogs with flat faces that they're having to put down because nobody wants them and they've got dreadful illnesses because stupid morons have been breeding them for what they imagine is cute characteristics, and the dogs can't blooming well breathe. You read about that?
Nick, don't get me started on that. It's so awful. Like, yeah. French bulldogs, they're prone to literally... Every body system has got some kind of genetic predisposition. And I didn't... You said that people haven't put them down because they're unpopular. They're super popular for some reason.
Well, no, they were, but they're all being given away to these dog homes, and there's so many of them now, and the dog homes can't relocate them with another family because nobody wants them because they're wheezing and their legs are bent and their spines are out of shape and they've got folds and eye problems, and all of these things are our fault because we bred them to look like that because it amused us.
It's so awful. It's like somebody saw like a soft serve ice cream and thought, I'd like to see a dog that looks like that. And they're just logistical nightmares. It's so upsetting.
Right.
But
it's because they're completely unnatural.
But can we go back to birds for a second?
Yeah.
So I saw a guy online who has been trying to train crows to find money for him because he does...
Money?
He had a couple of, like, he had some, you know, dollar bills and he put in front of them and then whenever they touch him, he gives them food. And then he sort of, it's just, you know, he's posting it all online. He's trying to train them.
Hmm.
They bring him money that he'll give them food. So that was my other sort of solution to your parakeet issue, because, you know, you're looking out the window every day and you're seething with rage.
Yes.
You know, you're wanting to get a BB gun and all this stuff.
Right.
Don't eat,
a flamethrower would be a good idea.
Oh, my goodness. Well, just befriend them. You know,
no.
Go into the belly of the bee.
No, I cannot befriend something that's that loud and that annoying. No, I like British songbirds. I like the robins and, you know, other ones that I can't name off the top of my head. I do not like those squawking things that are just a blooming menace. Hate them.
Well, yeah, I mean, they got different feather colour. They speak in a different language.
Oh,
God, you know?
I
they,
see.
They don't belong here.
That makes me a racist, does it?
Nick Abbott, you are a bird racist.
I am a bird racist, yeah, I confess.
But before I go, I'm graduating this year in July.
Oh, yeah.
And they have some sort of, like, festivities and things. My partner probably can't come, but mm-hmm. would you come in his place?
Well, let me think about that for a moment.
No.
Absolutely. No, you can put me down for no. But thanks for asking. 0345-6060-973. Thanks a lot, Laura. Absolutely. Jack in Hales Owen says, following the events this week, it looks like the fascist regime, which was installed by that slumbering, lumbering orange fatberg, is starting to slowly but surely disintegrate. Yeah, it is slowly but surely starting to disintegrate in much the same way as Steve Bannon's face looks like it's doing. Yeah, it's beginning to fall apart, ain't it? And I think that the moment that it started to disintegrate, you know, the regime and that whole MAGA movement, was when they shot two white people. I mean, the first one made them stop and take notice. They thought, ooh, well, maybe she deserved it because, I don't know, she's was driving a car, or she was a lesbian, or, you know, whatever it might be. So we could maybe just get over that one when ICE shot the wrong coloured person. But then they shot another one and thought, oh, maybe you've gone too far. And then I thought that the response was just so inept. It was staggering. To try to sell to the MAGA crowd that the reason that the teacher got shot, the second one, was because he arrived at a protest with a gun and he shouldn't have done that. This was the reaction from the MAGA crowd.
What?
Are you telling us that we can't take guns wherever we want? That's not MAGA. That's the opposite of MAGA. You got guys with, you know, like personality defects who are going into Starbucks with military assault weapons hanging off them because they can, because it makes them feel tough. And that's the whole point about the Second Amendment, about, you know, you've got the right to bear arms. And then their leader showed up and said that you shouldn't bear arms under the following circumstances. Well, that's not them at all. And then they started to split apart. And of course, the dribbling out and the redaction of the files from you know who.
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein?
Yeah, still talking about Jeffrey Epstein, Donnie. There's millions and millions and millions of files that they haven't released. There's terabytes of information. You know how much a terabyte is?
No.
No, me neither. It's a massive amount. Think of a film. A film is what, like 3-5 gigabytes, something like that? And a terabyte is I don't really know what I'm talking about now. But I would imagine, just from the name of it, it's 1,000 gigabytes, isn't it? And they've got thousands of those. Got massive amounts of information about people whose names have been blocked out with black ink. Not to protect the victims, but to protect the perpetrators. Okay, here comes the message from next door. Do-do-do-do. A terabyte is 1,000 GB. A petabyte is 1,024 terabytes. Well, nobody really knows that. 1,024. That doesn't make sense. Why would anything be 1,024 of anything? I guess I'll never know. I mean, I could look it up, but, you know, that would involve homework, so no. Phil in Port Talbot says, Nick, Jacob Elordi is 6 foot five. Nobody could reach his face to punch it. Well, there's another reason why he can't be James Bond. Nobody can be that tall and be, you know, I was going to say can be sort of athletic and fighty, but I guess they can. You know, basketball?
Boring!
Yeah, that sport. People over 6 foot five in basketball, and I suppose they bear a passing resemblance to athletes, I suppose. But no, not Jacob Elordi. It has to be somebody ugly. No offence to Aaron Pierre, but he ain't no Jacob Elordi. He's not a pretty boy, is he? He has to look as though he's been punched in the face to be the new James Bond. I mean it. Listen to me, Jeff Bezos. Darren in London says, I think Trump is right that his picture should be in every school. Just imagine this happened in the UK a couple of years ago. The kids would have seen our fearless leader, Liz Truss. Now they see Starmer. That give kids nightmares, says Darren, who maybe is using English as a foreign language. I've got no idea. But I think that your missive needs tidying up, Darren. I can't do it because, this is a live show. Richard in Carmarthen says, last night you were enthusing about the heated seats in your car. Well, just wait until your next car provides you with a heated steering wheel. Yeah, I've dreamt about that. He says, I suffer from cold hands, and this feature is now one of the most important features I look for in a car. Pure luxury, says Richard in Carmarthen. Yeah, no, I dream about a heated steering wheel. I really do. I spend most of my time just trying to warm up my hands on the way here. By the time I get here, they're just about warm. And then I have to get out into the cold, and then they get cold again.
Damn it!
But you know me, I never complain.
Whinging and whining and moaning.
0345 6060 973. Tabitha says, Nick Abbott, you should retire. Well, I will for about a minute or so for the news, if that's okay with you. But thanks for the career advice, Tabitha. 0345 6060 973 1230 on LBC, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
The Prime Minister has admitted appointing Peter Mandelson as British Ambassador to Washington was a mistake. He's made the comments during an interview while also insisting he will lead Labour into the next general election. The widow of the Russian opposition leader, Alexei Navalny, says she's glad the truth has been uncovered about her husband's death. The UK and four European allies say lab tests show he was poisoned. The Kremlin says the allegations are Western disinformation. And a new report is warning the gender pay gap will not close for a further 30 years. It's coming from the TUC and says change will continue to be slow at the current rate of progress. LBC weather, a band of rain, sleet and snow will push across the UK eastwards overnight. Clearer spells later, but then more showers will develop. We'll see a low of around 1 degree.
This is LBC.
Just made an LDM brake flag.
Stuck waiting again.
Tell me about it. I've spent all morning trying to get through to my GP.
Oh, I ditched that stress and joined Benenden Health. They've got 24/7 GP helpline. No waiting rooms, no sitting around.
Really? Sounds like a great service, unlike this one.
We're just about to get moving again.
Press play on your health with the 24/7 GP helpline and much more. All for less than £16 per person per month. Search Benenden Health. Fee reviewed periodically. T's and C's apply. Qualifying periods apply for some services. UK only. Visit benenden.co.uk.
When ordinary people take on extraordinary challenges. When it's the finale after weeks of competition. When it's time to go big or go home.
So, who do you want to win?
Him.
Him?
Good hair.
Classic reason, yeah?
Nothing brings us together like great TV. And a TV licence covers you to watch all TV channels with all the reality shows you love to talk about. Search TV licence together.
It's time to scale up that fishmonger business, Anne. With free day-to-day online banking from Virgin Money, you'll be a big fish in no time. Now that's a real catch of the day. Open Virgin Money's M account for business now. UK excludes NI, Channel Islands and Isle of Man. 18 plus fees apply for chaps and international payments. Terms and exclusions apply. Backed by the current account switch service. Virgin Money is a trading name of Clydesdale Bank PLC.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
This is LBC with Nick Abbott.
Outside line, please.
Oh, 0345 6060 973. That was Carol McGiffin, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're taking a break from our What's Your Problem with Nick and Carol podcast, and it'll be back in mid-March. But in the meantime, I have doubled up the number of Nick Abbott Habit podcasts, best of old clips. It's concentrated amusement. Think you'll love it. Comes out on a Monday and a Wednesday now in extended form. The Nick Abbott Habit. Get it where you get your podcasts. Merthyr Tydfil. Hello, Jeff.
Nick, I've got some good news for you. The proposal to ban you from the... from you nowhere.
The Goose and Cuckoo. Yeah.
Has been blocked by Dismal and Quiet Wedding. Because they reckon that it's vindictive legislation on my part.
Right.
And it looks very much as if you'll be okay. I don't know why I'm bothering, you know, because they've deliberately done it because they now call me through. But the thing is, right?
I can't believe that this is the first time I'm hearing about this, that I was about to be banned from a pub that I don't go to.
Well, like, we banned Pam Bondi this week.
Oh, did you?
Esketh, the Bovini guy. Banned. There's a whole list of them.
But right, anyway, well, why would I get lumped in with that lot?
Well, I put on the charge sheet that you were sort of arrogant English. Because
the charge sheet. Right. Well, there's a procedure that you have to go through. I understand that. First, you have to fill in the charge sheet, and then you discuss it amongst yourselves.
Well, you know, what's name was on last night. He said a lot of words, but he didn't seem to make any sense.
No.
You know, from Bodmin.
Yeah.
He reckoned that he was banned and all that. I have no idea what he was on about. He didn't make any sense to me.
No, that's right.
You're just speaking words now, Nick, and they don't mean much.
They don't mean much, exactly.
That's the one. And anyway, this morning I had a surreal experience. I was waiting to go on to talk to Matt Fry, you know, about the fourth anniversary of the invasion of Ukraine.
Yeah.
And past the front window, past my MP... my member for the Senate, yeah, she went past. A big, huge gaggle of cameramen and all this. It was surreal. We're in the middle of this sort of major election, and it's all coming home.
And they came past your window.
Yeah,
on the way to where?
In Merthyr.
Right, they were just going into the middle of the town and they had to park out of town and walk or what?
They were knocking doors.
Oh.
But they didn't knock mine.
Why not?
I'm asking the same question. I've no idea.
Was it the poster of Adolf in your window?
Well, all I can tell you, Nick, is that I'm considering taking it was the advisory body to the subcommittee which submitted the motion to the full committee that goes to plenary. Okay, so it's somewhere in this process you've been blocked, but I'm thinking of going to the ECHR.
Right, to stick up for your human rights to get me banned from a pub that I don't go to.
Well, it's only fair.
Well, I suppose so, yeah. It's the principle of the thing, I understand.
Yes. It's accusing me of lugubriosity,
yes.
Whatever it was.
Well, that's true, yes. You are the very dictionary definition of lugubrious. I'm going to call you from now on Loogie.
Anyway, it reminded me of the time you told me that Putin invaded Ukraine, the news came through to you, and you had the longest silence on the radio. And you played back the silence to me, and it is long. It is dark.
I played back the silence to you? I don't remember that. But I do remember that I was on the air. I just picked up 2 extra weeks, which is 17 shows in a row. And on the first day, Rootin' Tootin' invaded Ukraine. And I then did 17 shows in a row, 3 hours of Ukraine in each show, because it was all kicking off. And I remember on the first one, it was one of the worst times I've ever had on the, you know, it pales into insignificance for the people that were actually there. But for me, it was just awful, because I took a phone call in the first half hour from somebody who was in Zaporizhia, which is where the big nuclear power station is.
Yep.
And, you know, he's an English guy and he was in Zaporizhia and he was saying that, you know, we're all a bit concerned, but it's a long way off. And I can hear some, you know, explosions, but they're a really long way away. And then he called again just before, at about 5 to 1. And he said, yeah, they're here. The bombs are, it appears as though they're trying to blow up the nuclear power station.
Oh, that's
the Europe's biggest nuclear power station that is just down the road from where I'm living. And I got off the phone to him. And, you know, having sort of wished him the best of luck, expecting that he was about to die. And I didn't know what to say. Like, I had nothing in my mind to say at all. And I left the longest silence. I mean, I do often leave long silences, I know that, for, you know, effect. Yeah. But I thought, I'm going to have to say something, because the emergency tape is going to kick in and it'll be somebody talking about biscuits or what flavour crisps you like. And I can't have that. So I had to say something and I can't remember what I came out with. But, you know, I've always wondered since, you know, did he make it? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's exactly 4 years.
Right.
4 years.
Is it today? 4 years, right?
Something like that. I can't believe it. What's going on? How anybody? I mean, Trump and his relationship with Putin just defeats all logic and all.
Well, think of what the simplest explanation is as to why Trump seems to be so enamored of Vladimir Putin, and it's probably the right one.
Yep.
Just don't say it on the air, because I don't want to be sued for
$8,737,540,000.
Don't forget the guy in the cooler, in the slammer. He's desperate for soap. Dove. He likes Dove, apparently. Soap.
Right. I've got no idea what you're talking about now.
Nathan Gill.
Oh, okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Loogie. Cheers. 0345 6060 973. Here is a point of information. Theo in Liverpool says, "Hi Nick, hope you're well. Any form of byte is in a quantity of 1024, because computers use the binary number system with a base of 2 using ones and zeros." Yeah, Theo, I know that. I didn't know that. In fact, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'll take your word for it. And vow to never think of it again. Because that suits me just fine. Tooting. Hello, Jan.
Hi, good evening.
Yes,
good morning,
Jan.
Nick.
Morning.
So, just following on from something said about terabytes, I've just got Bytes of Terror,
T-E-R-R-E-O-R.
Bytes of Terror are going to be unleashed from those terabytes. That's from the you know, the technical term for the amount of information.
Yeah, the amount of information of you know who.
Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein?
Jeffrey Epstein.
Some are going to have Bytes of Terror as a result.
Right.
It's going to be unleashed. I don't know how to say it. Anyway, that came to my head. But Nick, I called about something which I thought I must speak to. I don't know whether you saw that it's in the news, the eye covering about this guy who had MND, a young man, Patrick Darling. He used to be in an Irish singing group, and he lost his voice when he was diagnosed with motor neuron Well, he had motor neurone disease,
at
the age of 29.
Nice.
So, but now, apparently, there's this AI, British lab have developed a software. So they've created a digital replica of his speaking voice, because he was singing and playing an instrument, but everything stopped because he lost the ability to even say more than one word, a few words, and the ability to sing. But apparently this Richard Cave, a speech therapist who's helped design this AI voice thing.
It is a little bit scary, because I have heard before that with just a few sentences, you can get AI now to make it sound like you're saying anything, which is alarming, because, you know, with these developments, it's usually used for one of three things. One is for a sensual interface.
Disgusting.
Well, that doesn't really apply here.
I'm not sure what that means.
Another is for killing people, and I'm sure that they would find out some way of using it for that purpose. But a third is, of course, scams, getting ripping people off from their money by others who can't be bothered to go out and work for a living. And that's how they do it. They use this thing to call you up, and, you know, one of your loved ones will say, I need your help. Please transfer £1,000 straight away. Mm-hmm. And you, in a panic, will do just that, because it sounds like it's them.
Oh, yeah, and of course there's the voice ID, isn't there, that is used for banking and all kinds of things. A person's voice, it can identify you, and I guess
that can
be used by these cyber criminals.
Yeah.
But in this case, though, where it's all above board and done for turning a person's life around, because imagine being 29 and suddenly not being able to speak through this motor neurone disease. I didn't know that had that effect. But he's now being able to communicate via AI technology, and with the 11 Lab software, they've been able to turn his past recordings of music and singing voice.
It feels like we're at the cusp of a lot of breakthroughs in medical science. If only humankind can live long enough to actually reap the benefit of them, well, it depends on the personality profile of a certain individual.
I'll bring us into war.
I bet he will.
Dark side, isn't it? It's the dark side of AI that's the really worrying thing.
Yeah.
But, Nick, there's something else I'd like to say.
And another thing.
I just a little bit on this. I didn't have a chance to look it up, but it says the Irish government now is going to pay musicians, and it says in this little bit about I haven't been able to research it more, but professional musicians and artists in the Republic of Ireland could be paid £283 a week under a government support scheme, and the basic
to do what?
Well, to do their creative work. So the basic income for the arts project is believed to be a world first.
Well, you know, we used to have in the 1970s and 60s, 70s, and 80s, I suppose. We used to have a thing called the dole. And that's what artists used to collect while they were doing their art. And by that method, we became preeminent in the world for art, because you can't really concentrate on your art if you're working 12 hours a day delivering pizzas to people or whatever the lowest jobs are at the moment, because you've got no energy to do it when you get back. But if you were on the dole and you could spend all your time, you know, making your music or painting or doing your sculptures, whatever it is, then sort of by the dint of the number of people that are doing it, then great things will ensue. And by that method, we did, I believe, I think the dole, as little as it was at the time sufficient to live on, much more so than it is today, because everything's so blooming expensive today. But you could live on it and do your art, and that's why we in this country are number one in music. I mean, there's no country in the world that punches above its weight more in the arts than we do, and I believe that it is a lot to do with the dole as it used to be. There you go, Jan.
But Nick,
yes.
Nick, but just a minute, because there used to be, it used a lot of practicing artists or something, we used to get grants from the Greater London Arts Association.
Right, well, probably that too.
Because they run out of money.
Well, they didn't run out of money. There's no end of money. They just decided on spending it on something else. They decided that it would be better for billionaires to hoover it up and then park it offshore. That's what they decided to do with all that money. Yeah, Jana, got to go, but thanks for that. 0345 6060 973.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Clive Bull.
Why has Britain's youth unemployment rate risen above that of the EU for the first time? Plus, the Lib Dems say that hobbies could be the answer to the growing problem of loneliness.
Clive Bull at 1. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
When I realised there was demand for our business in overseas markets.
When I wanted to sharpen my business skills with training that wouldn't break the bank.
When it was time to turn my passion into a thriving business venture.
When I needed advice I could trust.
Whether you want to grow your business or even start one from scratch, we'll help you access the support you need when you need it. With free tools, insights and live or on-demand training, the UK government is backing your business. Visit business.gov.uk to find out how.
Mate, get this. My network just gave me a data boost for being a brand new member.
Sorry, a what?
A data boost!
Are you on GiftGaff or something?
Yeah, they gave me a data boost just for joining.
You mean data boost? Yeah, I got one too. I've been with them for ages.
Ah, so you've got a data boost too.
You're doing it again.
Doing what?
Saying data boost all weird.
Am I?
Join millions of members and get a data boost today. Activate an eligible plan before 18th of May 26. T's and C's apply. See giftgaff.com/terms.
Listeners, we interrupt the airwaves to share an incredible discovery. The reason why Britain hasn't been so great of late is because the country hasn't been eating enough Weetabix. We must get to work in rebuilding Great Britain, Bix by Bix. By delivering Weetabix to whoever plans the traffic diversions, to delivery drivers who can't seem to find your house,
and people who don't stack the dishwasher properly.
To Britain, we must say, have you had your Weetabix?
At Pets in a Pickle, we know what it's like welcoming a new pet into the family. For fuss-free pet insurance policies as unique as they are, visit petsinapickle.co.uk.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Come on, we're running late!
We are running late. Kylie says, why can't people just be more tolerant of others? Yeah, whatever happened to peace, love and understanding? Mark from Stanmore says, I can see Trump invading Brazil and swapping the statue of Christ the Redeemer for a statue of himself. Yeah, I can see that too, yeah. They would find it hard to come up with, enough stone to feature his circumference. Just saying. That's Palm Beach, Florida. Bazza.
Oh, hi, Nick. Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure.
Couple of things. Listening to your catch-up show last night, you've got this problem with parakeets.
Yeah.
Now, I actually live most of my time in Richmond, just along from Kew Gardens, and I suffer from parakeets.
Yeah, I bet you do.
And you can shoot them in your garden.
Can you?
I don't know. Yes, it comes under what's called a general license, because A, they're an invasive species.
Mm.
And secondly, they damage your crops or your fruit or your vegetables, etc. That gives you the reason to shoot them.
And with what type of weapon can you shoot them?
Air rifles, easy. They're not very big birds, and there's not much of them. So providing you can hit them with an air rifle, bish, bash, bosh, off they go.
What if I accidentally take out a couple of neighbours?
You've got to be very careful shooting. Hopefully, as I've got a big brick wall at the back of the garden.
Right.
Now, that's your first one. Now, black squirrels, you said you'd never seen them. Well, no. I've never seen them. I'm over in Palm Beach at the moment, just along the road from the Mango Mussolini. And the black squirrels are a thing in Palm Beach, Florida. And they're sweet little things.
Huh.
About the same size as an English red squirrel.
Right.
Much smaller than the greys.
Yes.
But black they certainly are.
Huh.
And you've seen them rolling around. Very good indeed.
Well, I like the sound of that.
It is very lovely. And, of course, the weather over here is lovely at the moment. I don't want to... I'm back in UK next week sometime. Right. Well, it can be nasty.
Bring a brolly, long johns, crampons, snowshoes, you know, all of that.
I will do. But I say I have to be very careful. I've had to use my nickname because I'm only a couple of miles from the Mango Mussolini down the road there. Yeah. And I took a risk coming to the country because I smuggled in your book.
Oh.
And I thought if they are going to, it's very obvious who your front cartoon cover is. I thought if they open my bag up, they'll see that.
That was somewhat foolish of you, Bazza.
I needed something on the plane, and you can take little chunks out, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, that's the way I wrote it. You don't have to read it from start to finish. You can just go in anywhere you like, and it should provide, if not amusement, then certainly recognition. You think, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, but the other thing I found here, it gives you an opportunity to watch some of the American news channels. I tell you, it's like being in North Korea. They are slavish about, oh my God, the propaganda. You have to watch it. It's absolutely amazing.
Fox News.
Anyway, I realise time is tight.
It is.
And it's been a pleasure speaking to you.
All right.
And when I get back to the UK, I'll make another call.
Well, I wish you all the best, Bazza. Duck and cover. And take the SIM out of your phone and never sleep in the same place twice. Thanks a lot, mate. Roma says, apparently to deter parakeets, all you need to do is position some fake plastic owls in various places, preferably the ones with rotating heads. The parakeets will not go near the pretend fake owls. Another trick, which apparently works, is to hang old unwanted CDs here and there in the trees. Parakeets should stay well away, as they will put off when they see the CDs. What, because they think you're old-fashioned? You're not streaming? Think, oh, this is a dreadful neighbourhood. Let's go back to Q. Cags says, tell Nick we are overrun with ringneck ones over here in Ealing. I've seen quite a few Birds of Prey Company vans driving around. Obviously doing a roaring trade. They could sort out this little problem. Really? Huh. So it's like rats. You get a bloke with one of them little dogs. What are they called? A Jack Russell. You get a bloke with a couple of Jack Russells around and let them loose in your basement, as I did in an old house of mine, and they just go nuts. It looks like they've never had so much fun. They're just so excited, these little Jack Russells. And they charge around and then come back, and there's a little pile of dead rats. Good little dogs. So, Birds of Prey, huh? Well, I'm glad that somebody's on the case. Penge. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Nick. How you doing? You okay?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Good, good. Them parakeets, they're supposed to hang on to the side of the building and make holes in your building. Is that right?
It's what it looked like they were doing to me.
Yeah, they all cling on to the side. I watched a documentary or something on it. They all cling on to... The whole side of the house was full. You couldn't see anything else but green.
Huh.
And they were making holes in it. They're really bad.
Well, the stuff you see when you've mislaid your rifle.
Yeah. And one thing about the doll, you're talking about the doll.
Yeah.
Which group made the most money out of the doll?
Which group made the most money out of the doll?
You didn't say it. I thought you was going to say it at the time.
Which group made the most money? Is this you singing?
No.
That was terrible.
Wait, did you have a guess, did you?
Which group made them? UB40.
Mm-hmm. That's what it was, wasn't it? The name of the group was the
UB40. Yeah, that's what you did, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, I got that one right.
I rang up about Ukraine, though.
Yes.
It didn't start today. It started on the 24th of February.
Right.
That's my birthday.
So right.
But thanks, Nick.
Okay, excellent work. Thanks a lot, Peter. Nick in Colnbrook says, I have a pool and a trampoline and a hotel overlooking my garden. I've got airplanes flying over and a gravel pit at the end of my garden, and no one can hear anything over me trying to make myself heard. Oh, that sounds like a nightmare. Yeah, that is very good advice. If you... if you can't find any other way. I mean, Google Maps, if you put it on, like, real-life mode, then they can show you if there's anyone around a prospective property that you're looking at buying who's got a swimming pool, and you do not want to live next to anybody with a swimming pool, because the kids will scream and scream and scream. It just never stops. And finally, Barry says, Ian Fleming would turn in his grave if Aaron Pierre gets the part of James Bond. What next? A woman, says Barry. Well, you know what? Ian Fleming would turn in his grave if he saw any James Bond film apart from Dr. No, because none of them have got anything to do with the books he wrote. So there's that. Now, if you missed any of today's super show, or yesterday's, in fact, then you should be aware that they get put up the internet as podcasts almost the moment they finish being broadcast. It's called Nick Abbott, The Whole Show Podcast. It is on Global Player or the new LBC app, both of which are free from your app store. Ask for Nick Abbott, The Whole Show Podcast. The Friday and Saturday night shows get put up the internet as a podcast. We take the news and most of the ads out, mostly, which means it's quicker to listen to, which will give you more time to watch a James Bond film that will have nothing to do with the book that it was based on. Now, I'll be back tonight with my abnormal normal show. At 4 on LBC, it's James Hansen. But first, here's Clyde Ball.
Nick, thank you. Coming up after the news at 1, Britain's youth unemployment rate has risen above that of the EU for the first time, jumping to over 15%. What is the reason for this? Is it, as some are claiming, because the minimum wage is too high? We're paying young people too much? Or are there other reasons? Meanwhile, campaigners say the gradual rise in the state pension age is forcing thousands of pensioners into poverty. Is there a case for leaving the pension age alone? And the Lib Dems say that hobbies could be the answer to the UK's growing problem of loneliness and social isolation. Are they right? Do you have a hobby? 0345 6060 973.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock. The Prime Minister has insisted he will lead Labour into the next general election. He's made the comments during an interview, while also saying appointing Peter Mandelson as the British ambassador to Washington was a mistake. More now from LBC's Jonathan Ray.
Sir Keir Starmer's been speaking after a week which began with him fighting for his job, following the fallout caused by the Peter Mandelson affair. This weekend, he's been returning to the international stage, giving a key address to the Munich Security Conference. But during an interview with The Sun on Sunday, he's gone back on the offensive against suggestions he should resign and reports of internal Labour plots to oust him. Speaking during the conference earlier, the Prime Minister said he'd ended the week much stronger than he started it.
The Canadian Foreign Minister says Ottawa would like to see a change of government in Iran, but it's also being reported Anita Anand declined to say whether it would support any US military action. Russia has dismissed the UK's findings on what caused the death of Alexei Navalny as ridiculous circus performance. London and four other European governments believe the opposition leader was killed by a rare toxin which comes from Ecuadorian dart frogs. But the military analyst Hamish de Breton Gordon's been telling LBC it would be difficult to hold the Kremlin accountable.
There is an organisation called the Organisation for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons who investigates use of chemical weapons, and then it is in effect a war crime. So the Russian state, in theory, should be taken to the International Criminal Court and charged with a war crime. But we know that that is highly unlikely to happen.
A teacher from West Sussex has been charged with the sexual abuse of two pupils at a primary school. Joseph Haffenden from Linfield is facing two counts of sexual assault and two more of false imprisonment. He's currently being held on remand. A yellow weather warning for snow and ice will continue to affect most of Scotland and large parts parts of England until 10 o'clock this morning. More than 70 areas across England have also been warned to expect flooding. And in sport and in football, League One Mansfield caught Saturday's shock of the day in the FA Cup. They beat the Premier League side Burnley 2-1. West Ham almost suffered an upset in the fourth round, but they eventually beat Burton 1-0. After extra time. LBC weather, a band of rain, sleet and snow will push across the UK eastwards.